Welcome to Nintendo Dads episode 124, recorded on April 12th, 2017. On tonight's episode, holy crap, what a load of information from Nintendo today during the Direct. We're going to react to that and a whole lot more. Zach, cue the music.
Everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Dads Podcast. My name is Zach Erickson, and tonight is April 12th, 2017. Joining me tonight from BTTribune.com is Jesse Waldeck. What's going on tonight, Jesse?
Pretty good. I killed my first Lynel today.
Ah.
And it happened to have been a white-maned one.
Oh, gosh. Did you just, like, keep eating?
Well, I saw it, and I'm like, do I want to sneak around it, or now let's just try it. And if I die out, I'm not going to lose much. And I used one fairy, I used Amoeba's Grace, and I used maybe five skewers of food, but I won.
I love the
murderer.
I love the visual of, like, fighting with your sword in one hand and a kebab in the other, as if, like, like, as if that's a valid strategy. I don't know. Anyways, good to be... thanks for being on the show tonight, dude. Joining us as well from the land of the South, Marty Esses. What's going on, Marty?
Yeah, I'm just trying to wade through the torrent of information that Nintendo gave us today.
Oh, my gosh, dude.
Much. It's like feast or famine.
Yeah.
With them, man.
It totally is.
Like, it's that you go for a month or so since the Switch came out, and you get a trickle here or there, and then all of a sudden it's... open up the floodgates and trot out Koizumi in front of everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. He's, it was good to see him. Yeah.
That I'm complaining, honestly.
Yeah.
I'm just being honest. I'm glad that we heard something from him, but man, there's a lot to get through tonight.
Yeah.
Is he like the new face of Nintendo now? Because apparently Kimishima isn't as camera shy.
Yeah. I'm okay with
it
that.
I would think from his, like, the reaction of the internet to him during the Switch promotion, you know, the Switch reveal was so good. I mean, why not put him up there?
Exactly. I'm a little sad that he didn't do a nothing up my sleeve sort of deal, but, you know, it is what it is. finally joining us as well from the BitBlock, Josh Thomas himself. What's going on tonight, Josh?
Very disappointed in myself because I want to get a whole bunch of amiibo now, and I thought I was over this. but that Pikmin amiibo.
Oh my gosh!
I can't keep myself from that. Even the Inklings. I'm back on the amiibo train.
I know it's crazy the number of amiibo that were announced today, and all of them. Like, it seems like Nintendo. We can get into this. You know what? Our music's already over. I'm just gonna play this bumper, and we can get right into it. Now. All right. So, of course, the news is brought to us by... Oh, somebody's...
Was that a train?
That's not me.
Who doesn't have headphones? Sir, please turn down your radio.
Oh, I was playing the hype train.
Oh, is that what that was? Okay. Nice. So, of course, the news is brought to us by...
not by the hype train, but by oneupbox.com, where you can go and get a monthly delivered box full of geeky goodness. If you're going over to oneupbox.com and use the code NintendoDads, you can get $3 off your first box, and it's full of things like plushes and stickers and exclusive t-shirts and all kinds of great stuff. And if you want to know what's in there, you can even go over to our YouTube channel and watch our monthly unboxing videos and see if it's something you like for yourself. Thanks to our friends at oneupbox.com for supporting the show.
Sweet. All right. So, Josh, amiibo. Mm-hmm. We might as well just get right at, like, let's just talk about all the amiibo now, and then we don't need to worry about it later. okay. So, lots of amiibo came out. Like, the very first one that they came out with, my impression immediately is that Nintendo, I think, has realized maybe if we put a little bit more effort into these, we can sell them for more money. That's what they did with the Zelda line. My guess is that those prices aren't going to be coming back down. They're just not going to release crappy ones like those Animal Crossing ones anymore.
Well, the Splatoon ones are actually listed at $12.99.
Are they?
They are. And something tells me there's a price point for Switch Amiibo, maybe. I mean, I know the Splatoon. Actually, I'm kind of contradicting myself there because I know the Switch is Splatoon 2. But I don't know. Like maybe it's the size of the sculpt. Maybe it's the, you know, because if you compare like the Breath of the Wild one, like yep. take your Inkling Boy Amiibo from Splatoon and take your Breath of the Wild Amiibo where Link is shooting the arrow.
Yeah, that's true.
And look at the amount. Okay.
Here's the problem,
I remember
though,
this
dude.
From being a Transformers toy collector. Okay, look at the amount of paint apps. Look at the amount of different, like if there's any clear plastic or anything like that used on them.
That's all injected later, right?
Yeah, you know, I mean, think about that kind of thing.
But look at this though. Like they've got that clear tank.
Yeah,
on
that's
this
true.
One.
I mean, but like every color adds to the cost. Every texture adds to the cost, and like that Inkling Amiibo, okay, is definitely not as detailed as that Bokoblin.
I was about to say though, like Exhibit A on like the fact that this Bokoblin Amiibo was the same price as, I don't even have either of the Link Amiibo. That's the only two that I don't have of the Zelda one.
Take that, excuse me. Take that Bokoblin Amiibo and hold it up against like your first wave Marth Amiibo, and you'll see how far they've come in sculpting.
Yeah, well here I've got Peace Stand Link. Here and that
yeah,
is...
that's a good one. I mean, look at the face, look at the eye placement.
He's totally cross-eyed, man. Peace Stand Link is totally cross-eyed. I don't know if you can see it, but he is my Link is.
Yeah,
he's pretty derpy.
See it.
He's pretty derpy.
He's like, I'm trying to get the ocarina.
Why is he staring at the back of his shield? I don't understand. Like, oh, there's a bug back here, guys. But
see,
yeah.
I kind of feel like those early Amiibo, like the changes they've made didn't make it more expensive. Like making Link's eyes better didn't really make it more expensive to do. They just needed to place a better like sticker decal thing over that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So like looking at this Pikmin Amiibo, I don't know if it's the paint or if there's actually going to be like you said, Marty, like it's all going to be different plastic. My guess is it's probably going to be painted, but man, is this thing detailed? You know what I mean? Like it's got all five of the Pikmin from Pikmin 3. It's got the yellow, blue, red, the rock Pikmin, and the flying Pikmin, the pink one, plus a little bolt there. It's cool. I really like it a lot, and it'll go. I have the Olimar Amiibo somewhere too, so that's pretty awesome. I really like that.
Yeah,
a lot.
I think like that Amiibo, if that were $15, I think I would understand it a little bit more just because of how it's more detailed and there's like many characters on the one Amiibo. Like if you look at the Rock Pikmin, you can tell they even have like the edges even look sort of like a little bit rocky, you know, it looks a little bit chipped in a way with the paint job. So that to me, I'd pay $20 for that, but that's just because there's Pikmin on it.
Yeah, totally.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe we'll be seeing a future where Amiibo have a various pricing point set up to where they're not all one price.
Yeah. I saw something online today that was somebody had taken all of their Zelda Amiibo and taken the chips out of all of the Amiibo and put them on these little things that were basically like so that he could fit them, carry them all with him. They were like little chips or little like basically the size of like a 3DS cartridge or a Switch cartridge. And so he carried all of them with him in his game case or whatever. I really the Switch is really emphasizing to me and like bringing to light the fact that I don't want to carry a bunch of Amiibo around, but I still want to have all that functionality with me. And so I really hope that that soon we have some sort of maybe this is like if the new Smash Brothers if like a Smash Brothers game is released for Switch, release a card set. Right. So
yeah, they say, isn't that what Amiibo cards are supposed to be?
Exactly.
For?
But like have that sort of thing so that you can scan in, you know, all those different sorts of things, because
do that or do what Skylanders has done. I mean, Skylanders on the Switch has abandoned the need to have them with you all the time. You scan your Skylander in and it saves it to a digital locker that you can pull them up from at any time. There's no reason that the Switch could not do that for Amiibo.
Would you want to do that on a system level?
I would. Yeah, I would be fine with that, especially like for Smash Amiibo. If they do a Smash thing and like have it where you can play against your Amiibo fighters or whatever again, or even, I mean, I can't think of many uses for them past that, I guess. But I mean, to scan in for different games, like if you can get different costumes or things like the 3DS, you know, Box Boy that or Goodbye Box Boy thing that. Where you can do the Kirby costumes. You may not want to look like Kirby all the time, but you could scan it in there and use it when you want to.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe if they eventually, you know, actually make a game out of Amiibo, like a role-playing game or maybe an Animal Crossing type game, which I think they're sitting on a gold mine there.
Yeah, they are.
They could do that and you could have all your Amiibo scanned in there. I mean, the Switch is all about portability, right? So why tie yourself to a giant toy collection?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
I think there's definitely a difference between the way Amiibo and Skylanders and Disney Infinity figures worked. I think part of the appeal behind Skylanders and Disney Infinity is the idea of a kid picking up the toy and putting a different one in and like swapping them around during the play session. Whereas with Amiibo, you don't do that. It's just like a one-time scan to unlock something. So I feel like maybe that's the direction Nintendo's looking like. Maybe Nintendo feels like, well, you're not going to really take your Amiibo with you because they're kind of a one-time scan thing. Whereas it's not really like Skylanders.
Yeah, but even with Zelda, they encourage you to do it every day.
That is cheating, Zach. I'm a firm believer that all those Amiibos are cheating. You get all this stuff.
It is.
I yell at friends when they do that.
It is, but it also it's also the only way to get some of that cool armor.
They're specific characters. Yeah. But I agree. They should just release cards. Like, you know, I thought there was a third party developer doing that. There was like screenshots I saw on Twitter. Like somebody did that.
Mm-hmm. The problem is that anytime, like I would love to spend some money on, you know, just like the Smash Brothers line to have all those, you can scan them in whatever games they are supported. I think the biggest problem is that they may use a different NFC chip in the cards because they're read only, whereas if you wanted it to be read and write the figures are, that it might be a bigger chip. I don't know if that's true or not, but that would be one, I think, because like if it's just a read only chip, it could be literally like the size of your pinky fingernail, or you know, maybe that's a weird, you know, but like that's about how big it would be. Now everybody's looking down at their hand to look at to see what that is, but that's whereas otherwise it's the sticker is almost, I would say, maybe 3/4 of that base of the Amiibo. Otherwise, I don't know for sure. That's just speculation, but it gets tricky, I guess. So
who do you guys think that Nintendo's audience is moving forward with Amiibo? Because I felt like at the beginning it was kind of a more broad, almost maybe sort of mainstream audience. Everybody liked the new Nintendo toys that they saw. But I feel like nowadays they really don't have that as much, and it really is just like collectors or very like intense Nintendo fans.
Yeah, that's my sense, is that it's that they are definitely for the hardcore Nintendo fan, because looking at the ones that were announced today, right? Like the Pikmin one, which is very clearly for hardcore Pikmin fans. The 3 Smash Brothers ones are for the fanatics who, well, I guess 6, mm-hmm. right? I think the fact that there's 2 of each really goes to show like, oh no, this is for the completionists. And by the way, if you're a completionist, then you have to get all 6 of them, not just 3 of them.
And my thought today in watching this was, you know, when Amiibo first started coming out with the Smash line, it was like such a quick release, you know, in some ways. I mean, you had wave 1 and then wave 2, which had like 6 or 7 at a time, you know, some waves were smaller than others. And then like now, because Smash is not such a prevalent, you know, need for Amiibo, I guess, or the push mm-hmm. for Amiibo, I would really love to see them slow down on the releases and take more time to make more collector's pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Because like the Pikmin thing, like you could see the quality in that one, you know, mm-hmm. like the Wolf Link Amiibo, you could see the quality in that one when it came out. I would much rather
these Splatoon smaller ones. These Splatoon ones look great too.
Like, oh, absolutely. Yeah. And like, I think that the secret to that is that there is a smaller release schedule for those. You know, like, they're not so much like, oh, we're going to release 400 Splatoon amiibo. Like, we're going to release every named character. You're going to get a Judd amiibo and the Urchin and the DJ Octavio and all that. You're not, you know, it was just like, yeah, we're going to do the Inklings, you know, and that way they were able to do it. Animal Crossing got a little out of hand. I mean, like, oh, I love Animal Crossing, but I think that's why they're sitting in stores.
They literally had a bargain bin full of Animal Crossing amiibo at Toys R Us the last time I was there.
Yeah, I mean, that's where all of them are at my Toys R Us too.
Yeah,
but the thing is like, if you think about it, if they are marketing to the Nintendo collectible market, you know, like the people who are going to buy that, then they're going to appreciate more things like the Guardian amiibo, which are larger, or, you know, and had that special packaging that looked like it, you know, they were sitting on top of the rock or whatever.
Yeah,
I appreciated that. And I would be more willing to buy amiibo if it were a, you know, a slower release schedule. But they did things like they're doing, you know, like, they didn't release all of these Zelda amiibo and say, you know what, we're going to do five waves of Zelda amiibo in 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no way that most people can afford that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think that the cool thing about that would be like, just do like more general releases. Like for Mario Odyssey, you know, if you're going to do amiibo for that, do two or three, but make them really cool.
Yeah, totally. Which is exactly. You know,
like make them really special. Like make them have like something that other amiibo don't have.
Yeah,
like a special base or something like that, you know, that makes them, because like my amiibo reside in a Tupperware container, a three shelf Tupperware container or three bin, you know, because I don't have anywhere in my house that I can, my wife would not let me like if I went home tonight and was like, hey, we're going to display amiibo. She would be like, no, there would be no discussion about it. It was like, no,
that's why I have my own office space here where my wife doesn't go down. So I can put up a shelf and put whatever I want up.
Well, and the thing about that, you know, simply is just that, like, we're not going to do it. So I would just rather see a staggered release. I think my pocketbook is crying looking over this release schedule as it is. And if I have to choose between games and amiibo, I'm going to choose games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, for sure. So, so Josh, you're looking at getting all of these then? Is that what I'm understanding? The Pikmin and the Splatoon, or what?
The Splatoon and the Pikmin. I don't really care about the Smash Brothers ones. But yeah, the Splatoon and Splatoon and the Pikmin ones are great. I really, you know what I want though? In Splatoon, my favorite characters in Splatoon are not even the Inklings. I like the side characters that like run the shops or like some of those weird little characters. So I'd love to see amiibo of them someday. You know what I mean?
I want to see them of the new characters they revealed today too.
Yeah, those things are amazing. Those salmons.
Get a guardian size one of just like a horde of those guys. That'd be awesome.
Yeah,
like three or four of them kind of crawling all over each other. That'd be awesome. I'd buy that in a second. We'll get to Splatoon at the end here too.
Speaking of guardians, going off track a little bit, I heard your show with Roger and the other day that Roger didn't know that the guardian amiibo's arms are posable.
which is strange, because that's like one of the key features of the amiibo.
Yeah, they made that point across when they revealed it in whatever direct that was.
Listen, there's a lot Roger doesn't know.
Oh, I could go so many places with that, but I'm gonna leave it alone. So let's continue into the 3DS portion. Basically, they had their Nintendo Direct headlines, which did everybody, I loved that sort of like very quick, snappy sort of, here's this. We don't need to have 2 minutes for every single game. It's like 30 seconds. You're going to get what you need from this. If you want more information, there'll be stuff online, but it's just boom, 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 boom. I loved it.
I like that so much that I felt they spent too much time talking about arms and Splatoon 2.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Josh.
I think they could have done a better job breaking the direct up into two things. I know they kind of did that, like they had some news and then they had arms and then they had some more quick fire news and then they had Splatoon. But if they had divided it, maybe just did the two games as even maybe a separate direct, You know, like, use this as a quick fire. Like, we're going to give it, we're going to give you a lot of information. It's going to come quick. And then tune in tomorrow as we look at, you know, these other two games. I think that would have been even better. I mean, I'm glad again for what we got, but I really liked that headline thing. You know, it was cool to even look down and go, like, I think it increased excitement because, you know, you could look down and you could say, oh,
that's how I felt.
What
too.
Is that Kirby thing? You know, what is that? You know, and then it, like, by the time you get there, you're kind of hyped for it. You know, it's it like, was very
down,
smart.
You'd look down the list and it'd be like, oh, can you guess what this headline's going to be? And like, that's literally what's written there. I was like, what the what? So, yeah, no, it was good. I liked it. Josh, were you going to say something?
No, I was just going to agree that, yeah, because sometimes, like, in directs, you get bogged down with, like, you know, if they're talking about a game you're not interested in, it kind of, you know, you become unhyped, you know,
yeah.
Dehyped, whatever the word would be. So doing it more like rapid fire is kind of, yeah, I've been actually kind of asking for them to do that for a while. So I'm not saying they listen to me, but I'm just saying this is like a definite, you know, step up in the right direction.
No, they absolutely were like, oh, you know what, guys, we got our market research in. Josh Thomas says we should do this, and I agree.
that BitBlock guy is complaining again. Let's try to shut him up.
Yeah. So so they started off with Hey Pikmin, which is coming out July 28th with that amiibo. They showed a little bit more game footage. I'm still. It looks like it maybe will be a better, it like, I don't, who's developing this game? Do we know? Is it the same people as Chibi Robo Ziplash?
It's the same people that made Yoshi's New Island for the Nintendo 3DS.
Oh no.
They're not a developer that's very notorious for super high quality games.
Like that little air out of the balloon right there. I'm not going to lie.
Well, look at it this way, Marty. They're bound to make an amazing game eventually.
Actually,
the odds are in
and maybe this is it, because I'm going to be honest with you. This is the Pikmin game I've always wanted.
Oh my god. Oh really? Boy. Wait. Hold on a second. This is a strange comment, Marty. What does this mean?
Well, it's because the comment means that everything is better in 2D.
Oh god, Marty. What are you doing to me? Is this a joke?
No. I'm looking forward to 2D Pikmin.
You know what, though?
Zach, help me out here.
I was going to say, I'm looking at, I don't know what's going on. I can't stand for this. No, that's.
Marty, have you played a lot of Pikmin games, like the 3D ones?
I have, and I've never finished one.
Oh, my gosh, Marty.
I revisited Pikmin not too long ago, and I got sucked in hard. Like, it was so, it's so much fun to like, Pikmin 3 on the Wii U was so good. I am willing to give this a shot, but I'm going to follow it for sure. And it might actually, if it's good here, I guess I'll put it this way. If this game is able to capture the feeling that I have playing, the big Pikmin games, then I will be very excited. But the problem is that by the looks of it, you maybe max out at 20 Pikmin total in this game. And there's no sort of like, all right, send your Pikmin to do something and then they will walk back to your base and whatever, right? Like, the Pikmin are always with you, and so there's no multitasking, which is a huge part of Pikmin. So that's the part. I agree, though. Like, I think it's, I agree in that it looks like it's an interesting, taking the concept of Pikmin and turning it into a 2D platformer. I think there's potential there. But I they need to pull it off, and I'm not convinced that they're going to pull it off is my concern. Also, this is a 3DS game that is in 2D, right? That it does not use the 3D effect at all, because it's all on that bottom screen. And that is a problem for me. It always has been, especially for big games like this. That's a problem. So I don't know. Sorry, Marty, you're excited about this, though? Like, is it just the fact that it's a 2D platformer?
Yeah, I'm super excited about it. I mean, like, and I think one of the reasons is because I think that stylus control for Pikmin games is the way that they've always needed to be played, because it's more precise than a motion controller, you know, than using a
that's true.
A Wii remote that can flip out or whatever, you know, as you're playing it. There can be interference. I know that we're not going to get a full 3D Pikmin, and I'm not saying, let me walk back something here. I'm not saying that I didn't enjoy 3D Pikmin.
Yeah.
It's just that I am, my natural bent is toward 2D because of growing up with the NES and the SNES, you know, and to me, the greatest versions of most of the franchises that we've had are 2D, except for Zelda. And you can get Zelda 2 out of here because that's trash. But like everything else, you know, Mario and Mega Man and all of that, you know, the 2D, I've always been bent toward 2D. So the ability to take and to me, I think this breathes a new freshness into Pikmin that, you know, maybe we'll focus more. I know there's a lot of problem solving anyway, but it looked like from that trailer even, you know, that there's a lot of problem solving that has to go on with this. And I think that's how they have to bend it because of the 2D thing.
I would agree. I'm going to pick it up.
I'm going to pick it up on day one.
I think I would be much more ready to agree with you if this was a Switch game. But that goes with just about every game that was announced on for the 3DS today.
You need to play it vertically to get the.
Yeah,
but I've never been a real time strategy fan. I've tried StarCraft and stuff, and it's the multitasking aspect that I don't like. Cause, you know, my brain doesn't work that way.
See, and I grew up playing like the original Warcraft, Warcraft 2, and so this game is like. I know it's not like the comparison isn't perfect, but I think it is. It's got enough of that in there to be really, really
sure.
Fun, so.
Right, but I have enjoyed the Pikmin franchise. You know, last year I replayed Pikmin 3 my second time through, and after that I actually went back and played Pikmin 1 and 2 on the Wii.
I mean, full disclosure, the reason that like maybe I feel this way is because I totally suck at Pikmin. Just bottom line, like I'm not good at the series at all.
Yeah.
But I still enjoy it.
All right, so I'm thinking Pikmin without the multitasking is probably a plus for me.
Mm. Same here. Yeah. The multitasking is really where I struggle.
Yeah.
So maybe this will be better.
Yeah. All right. Sorry, go ahead.
I have to rebuttal this.
Okay. Let's hear it.
No, I love Mario. I totally respect your opinion and what you think. For me, the best parts about Pikmin is that it is in 3D and that you have this like little tiny playground. Like you feel like you're controlling these little tiny characters and you have this beautiful atmosphere and they're always very pretty games. And I'm not seeing that at all from this game. I mean, certainly not beauty. This game is the opposite of beauty.
It's hard to be beautiful in two 240p screens.
Well, it's hard to be beautiful when you're being developed by the team that made New Yoshi's Island. That's another problem.
True.
No, I mean, I actually am not totally negative about this game. I think, oh, yeah, it's like a cute. To me, this is just a little distraction along the way to get a real Pikmin game. Like, I feel like this is just like, oh, the 3DS is almost over. What can we do? Well, let's try something new with Pikmin. It's a little 2D platformer, touchscreen thing. I actually think, okay, you know, whatever comes with an amiibo or the amiibo will be sold separately, whatever. So I think I've liked, like, as a massive, rabid Pikmin fan, I think this is okay. You know, I'm going to give it a chance. I think it could be cute and endearing. But I would never want to see this have any kind of an impact on the actual series.
Yep.
Because everything that I love about, and also like multiplayer is such a big part of the Pikmin experience now, I feel. And so like, even if we got a new 3D Pikmin and it didn't have multiplayer, I would be devastatedly disappointed about that.
Mm-hmm.
The bingo battle mode in Pikmin 3 is something that I still play with friends today. And we're all very stupid in real life, but when we play that bingo battle mode, we're like scientists. Like, we know the second somebody messed up, and it's like, it's a really weird thing. So, yeah, I mean, if this is a bonus thing for people who maybe are not, like, you know, like Marty said, he likes the idea of Pikmin and stuff, but he's just not good at it, or he wants to try something different. As that, this is really cool.
Yeah, I have no one to play multiplayer with. My son has tried a little bit of Pikmin 3 and learned enough of the game where we played one of the bingo battles. And I just crushed him just because he wasn't as good and
he sucked at the game. No.
Yeah. And he goes, I don't like this game.
he's not good because he's disappointing as a child. Yeah. As my child.
So
thought you were gonna say.
What I hear you saying though, Josh, is this is fine as long as this game stays in the spin-off corner and don't you dare come out of that corner.
Absolutely. Yeah. I will say corner. This. What is it called? Hey Pikmin. Mm-hmm. So, Hey Pikmin is definitely not Pikmin's version of Chibi Robo Ziplash. Mm. Like, Chibi Robo Ziplash was devastating to me in every possible way with no redeeming factors. This is at least a cute... I'm still scarred from Chibi Robo Ziplash. I have night terrors. I wake up sweating in the middle of the night, screaming about a 2D platformer Chibi Robo. But no, this is not... This doesn't offend me as a massive Pikmin fan. It feels like, oh, it's a cute little side thing. As long as this is a side thing, I'm cool.
Yeah, totally. Yeah,
I see that name and think of the N64 game with the microphone.
Yeah, Pikachu. Yeah, hey, you Pikachu. Maybe this is going to be the new version of new in front of titles. Everything will just be, hey, hey, Kirby. Hey, Super Mario.
Oh, boy.
Nice. By the way, if we spend this much time on every single game, we're going to be here till like, yeah, tomorrow. But any last thoughts on that? Yeah, before we
are definitely not rapid firing.
Yeah, and I honestly don't think that some of these things don't really warrant much discussion. Ever Oasis, they showed some more footage. It's coming out June 23rd, and it looks like an RPG, right? Like I think it's a little bit more of an action RPG. Is anybody excited about this game or like looking to get it? Jesse,
it looks like it should be down my path, but it isn't. I've never thought this looked like a game I'd be interested in for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe there'll be a demo.
Yeah.
I need to be sold on it more.
Yep, I totally agree. Monster Hunter Stories is coming in fall. I'm surprised that they announced this, frankly. This is kind of more of a story version of, like, a more approachable version of Monster Hunter. I'm not too, I don't know. It's a thing. We'll get some, anyway, it's Monster Hunter, right? That sort of thing. Fall 2017, Yo-Kai Watch 2, Psychic Spectres, Fall 2017.
Yes.
That is the third version of Bony Spirits and Fleshy Souls, and now we have Psychic Spectres. So that's coming this, and what, it's just, is it another version? Is it like a bunch of new content?
It does have new content. They called it basically the definitive version. So you could almost take it as like a deluxe.
Yellow.
So is it like the Pokemon third game?
Yeah.
In a generation.
When this came out in Japan, there was a big like promotion for it, I think, and they've done this since then for different, you know, Yo-Kai Watch games. There's like Yo-Kai Watch 3 has like a sukiyaki version, you know, which is like, because there's a lot of food yokai that get introduced in the later ones.
Weird.
But yeah, like there's Yo-Kai Watch 3 sushi and Yo-Kai Watch tempura, and then they did the sukiyaki version. And it was supposed to be the definitive version. So this,
is there a tempura wizard?
Maybe there is. That would be awesome. But no, this is supposed to be kind of like, I think, a combining of the two, because the big difference between Bony Spirits and Fleshy Souls is that there are different yokai to catch in each one,
mm-hmm,
or befriend. You don't catch them, you befriend them. So I think this is merging them together. And one thing they said about this one is that you'll be able to befriend evil yokai that you weren't able to before. And there's a new area of the game as well. I have Fleshy Souls.
Yeah, you do.
I haven't even played it yet. It has not even been in my 3DS. So I will probably go trade it in and wait on and get this one, since it's so close to release anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Right on. Next up is the Cold Sept Revolt coming out on August 29th. Apparently it's the 20th anniversary of this game.
I've never heard of it before.
It's like a strategy / board card game is how the website kind of describes it.
The past to me.
Yeah. So that's interesting, but I don't know. It's interesting.
If I wanted to play a card game, I'd get back into Yu-Gi-Oh and Magic and Pokemon again.
It's weird. I'd rather, there's lots of different stuff there, but I don't know, whatever. To each his own. RPG Maker, what did they call it? Fess.
They pronounced it Fess.
Okay, sure. June 27th. This game, I played RPG Maker back in the day and actually really enjoyed it. This was probably like 10 years ago. And it's what's cool about this, I think, is that is that they're releasing a RPG Maker player for free on the eShop. So in so basically, imagine just as sort of an equivalent thing here. Imagine if when Mario Maker came out, there was an app where you could play all of the Mario levels that other people made for free, and to make Mario levels, you had to buy the game.
WarioWare DIY.
Yeah, right, exactly, right? So that you basically, you can play any of the games that other people make for free using this download, this free download, but to make levels, you have to buy the game. So it's a pretty interesting, like, I'll definitely download the player and see what kind of quality game, like, how good the content
or lack thereof
but what I mean more specifically is, like, what is the animation like? What are the sprites like? Can you make your own sprites, or do you have to use the stock stuff? You know, stuff like that is more what I'm interested in, to get a good sense of the tools before I were to drop any money on that. Plus, it's on the 3DS, which I still like the 3DS, but you know what I mean. So anyway, that's coming June 27th. Interesting, yeah, though.
I'll definitely check out the free player as well. I'm not sure if I'll be interested in making anything.
Yeah. Yeah. And I remember it is a little bit more, it's definitely more complicated than Mario Maker is, right? Like, as far as you can actually,
well, I imagine you have to script like our NPC logic and.
Yeah, and you have to script, like, if you want to have, like, cutscenes and stuff like that, you can script cutscenes, so you can say, oh, this character says this and jumps and then moves down here and then talks to this person, you know, like, you can do all of that, which is cool.
Like, I want to recreate the Opera House scene for Final Fantasy VI.
Yeah, dude. Well, it would be cool that, like, I would almost use it almost, I would at least play around with it, using it more as, like, a cutscene sort of tool. I think that would be really neat too. So
like a little sprite based movie maker.
Yeah. Oh man, you just reminded me of Windows, or what was the 3D movie maker on Windows? Did you ever play that? It was like a kid's version. Anyways, wow, taking me back. So June 27th. Next up is Miitopia, which is sometime in 2017. This looks like it should have been, like we were saying when we were doing the live reaction, we were like, oh man, this looks like it should come out right now and be an eShop only download. And I think they're probably actually going to do an eShop or a full cartridge release for this, is kind of what it looks like.
You know, yeah, Tamagotchi Life was full retail as well. This is kind of like a sequel to that.
Yeah. Josh, did you play Tamagotchi Life at all?
Oh, yeah. I did tons of videos about Tamagotchi Life.
Do you feel like this game is, are you excited about Miitopia? I kind of have seen some footage from online and stuff like, or from the Japanese version.
I know people who have played the Japanese version, and they said it's not really as good as you probably want it to be.
Well, the first, okay, the thing that stood out to me,
it's true about so many things.
Yeah. The thing that stood out for me in the trailer was, if this is something that they were doing with Tamagotchi Life, the Miis recently, like, even in I just totally forgot it. What's the smartphone app?
Miitomo.
Yeah, like in Miitomo and in Tamagotchi Life, they have that voice generator, that text to speech thing where they have the weird voices. That's not in this game. Like in the trailer, they had it almost more of like a not quite as charming as Animal Crossing, right? Where it's like sort of thing, which I saw that I was like, wait, what? Why did they, like, they already have all of that there? Why wouldn't you just put this into this game? Because it's Miis. Why wouldn't you do that?
Disappointing me, because the text to speech generator is one of my favorite parts of the whole thing.
Yeah, totally. That would have been really
interesting. It's like, you can make these really, like, bizarre voices.
Oh, it's really, like,
as an IVR designer, that is the worst statement I've ever heard. That you enjoy a text-to-speech voice.
I mean, I enjoy it for the humor.
But I understand what you're talking about. I am amused as well.
Like when you have them, then they're singing, and it sounds like, you know, like the guy who has chewed too much tobacco with the little voice box. He's like, well, I'm in Miitomo. You know?
Or a voice, or like voices that are simultaneously super high-pitched and really low at the same time. right? Yes. Where they're like a me, 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 me. I don't know. You know, that sort of weird, like, hello.
How's that going again?
How are you? I don't know. That's the best I can do. But
you
yeah,
need to save
super
that.
Weird. Yeah. So that's Miitopia. It seems like a cool concept that they dropped the ball on, is what it seems like. Next up, Fire Emblem Heroes Shadows of Valentia. Fire Emblem Echoes. Sorry, what did I say? Yeah, anyways. Free and paid DLC will be available, including a season pass. Yet again, announcing DLC before the game comes out, but at the same time, I'm not too surprised about this.
This is the third Fire Emblem game on 3DS. I would be surprised if they didn't.
Yeah, exactly. When does that game come out? May, right? Yeah, it's May, I think.
Yeah, they didn't specify. Let's see if I still have the...
I think it's May 24th or something like that.
...sheet up. May 19th.
Okay. The true sign that the 3DS is on its way out, 3 Kirby games were announced. which is just... He is the harbinger of death for any Nintendo system. You know it's on the way out when lots of Kirby games are coming.
Well, and a lot of Kirby games that aren't like real Kirby games.
Well, the first one was available.
Is that okay to say? I mean, like the first one says like it's a new action adventure game. Okay. Well, it's like is it his 20th anniversary or something like that?
25th.
And then there's this weird multiplayer boss battle game that I think we've already gotten, but now is a standalone.
Yeah, it was.
And then there's the extra weird
blowout.
It's almost
blast?
Like a Kirby Time Attack game where you try to suck up as many enemies as you can to get a high score quickly.
Yeah, I don't understand this. Basically, by the way, what is I'm actually launching this right now. No, I don't want all this crap. Come on. Just let me play the dang game. I want to look at it. So it's called Kirby Clash Deluxe. Basically, this is a free-to-start game is how they what they call it. And by the looks of it, it does look very similar to the game that was released. Although now that I'm looking at it, there's actually like a little shop. There's quests. It looks like they have made it a little bit more. They've beefed it up a little bit. But it's basically that little RPG game that was in the that was in Robobot, which if you haven't played that is basically like a boss battle mode sort of thing that you could have like but you could choose like, okay, well, I'm gonna be the mage, I'm gonna be the healer, I'm gonna be the warrior.
Mm-hmm.
Which was cool. I liked it. Me and my son played it quite a bit, so and for it to be free I think is awesome. So I would definitely, if you guys have a 3DS, encourage you to check it out. Although it's, you know, it is something that we have seen a little bit of before, but if they've added stuff to it and they say it's free to start, so go in there and there's probably going to be microtransactions to play more and all that sort of stuff. But you could probably get your money's worth it being free. So there you go.
Well, and the 3D game, what's it called? Kirby
Blowout Blast?
Blowout Blast? I mean, it's just it's like a pumped up version of the 3D Rumble game from Robobot. It's just an expanded version of that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, see.
It's more of an organized game. I mean, 3D Rumble only had 3 levels and a maximum of like what, 13 levels, I think. 13 stages inside those 3 levels and 1 boss. So they're actually kind of expanding out on that. So if you notice, Nintendo's been doing this with their Kirby games. Like they'll sneak in a mini game or something, and then they'll break it out into another full game. Lately,
mm-hmm.
They've done that a lot with the 3DS releases, and I guess it's okay. I mean, I probably would not pay more than $10 for either of those games.
Yeah,
that's what I was going to ask. I was going to say, how much do you guys think that they will actually be?
Well, the Team Clash is free to start, right?
Which I hate the sound of, by the way.
Yeah, free to start means let's get them hooked and in charge of the big bucks.
At least there's more truth behind it than free to play.
True, that's right. 3D Rumble, or the blowback or whatever, blowout blast. I blowback. I don't know. It sounds like a firefighting movie. Backdraft, Kirby Backdraft. which I would actually probably play, actually, a Kirby firefighting game. $10 max.
So out of the two, I actually think the blowout game is probably the one that I would be most interested in, because I did mm-hmm. like the 3D Rumble one, but I like was shocked at how simple it ended up to be. The idea of like a 3D Kirby game, it almost has kind of a Super Mario 3D world set up with the way the camera is and the way the levels are. And it's got this kind of interesting thing where you suck up enemies and then you try to like chain react which ones you hit and stuff for more points. So I think that that would be worth $10, and I'd be interested in downloading that. It's I think that's more interesting than just the straight up battle boss thing.
Yeah. Although now that I actually am in here, and they did the one on the 3DS have a did it have like gear upgrades and stuff like that?
Yeah.
It did? So you could like I know you could pick your role, but like could you get like a new sword and all that kind of stuff? Maybe I just didn't get far enough into it.
You would level up in it.
Yeah, okay. Maybe I'm just...
Maybe not a part of the robot game, but when they sold it individually, you could level up. They added that ability.
Yeah, I don't know. So.
Oh, no, that's to triple... I'm sorry. That's to triple deluxe. Remember, they made Kirby Triple Deluxe, and they did the same thing they're doing now, where they took a couple of the modes, the minigame modes, and they sold them separately on the eShop.
Yeah.
So yeah. That's kind of what they're doing now. But I do remember that they did update the like one where you fight bosses to where you could like level up your character and
yeah
stuff.
that was like the Smash Brothers Lite game is kind of what that
yeah,
was
yeah
so this one is more of like a boss battle version of the game, but yeah, it's kind of cool. So we'll see. I mean, it's free, so I mean, who cares really, but mm-hmm. I'm excited for this one because I'll be able to download it on my son's 3DS, and he likes Kirby, and he'll probably get some good time out of it. So
yeah, the team battle thing sounds like something that me and my son would definitely like to play. He really liked that boss rush mode mm-hmm. in Robobot, wanted to play it all the time. So yeah. I will probably download this for him, especially since it's free and I can, you know, I can kind of do the dad thing like, oh, yeah, it's free. And now the time's up, so we got to quit. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We're not going to spend any more money on this.
Yeah, totally. Finally, Bye Bye Box Boy came out today, compatible with Amiibo for the Kirby Amiibo, and it has a Game Boy Green filter, which is nifty. There's a
only if you have all three games.
That's the only way you can get it.
That's the only way. They said that in the direct that the filter is unlocked if you own all three.
Was it and or?
It said and. I went back and watched it just to be sure. You have to have all three.
How do they even know that, though? Like, because
it's I guess save data.
They can read your save data.
Oh, that's true. So that's the thing. That's actually a little disappointing about that. I played the original Box Boy. I did not play the second one. I don't necessarily feel drawn to play this one. But
you know what really sucks about that is that the QB Amiibo is what gave you that Game Boy filter in the Japanese version. Which means that we're probably not getting the Game Boy filter, or we're probably not getting the QB Amiibo here.
Yeah. See, and I would have probably gone out and bought the version of like a cartridge that had all three of the games on it. I probably would have jumped on something like that, but oh well, whatever. So that's the 3DS stuff. Of course, they talked about the Amiibos that we've already talked about, Cloud Corn and Bayonetta Amiibos, and the Zelda Amiibo and such. So next up,
very quickly, did you guys mention they did announce, they didn't talk about it really at all. They just said there's a new multiplayer action game for Kirby coming this holiday season. Did we talk about that?
Oh, yeah. They didn't even show anything, though. That was
the
here it comes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They're just like, oh, there's a new action multiplayer Kirby game coming out this holiday, but I guess we'll talk about that later.
It's because every Nintendo Direct has to have like some game where it's like working title.
Yeah. Oh, there's another one coming, so don't worry about that.
Yeah, exactly. So, it'll be interesting. Does that make us think maybe it's like a, So again, like, is that like a 3D world sort of, like you were saying before, like a stereo or what's the word, isotropic? Anyways,
I would think that it may be in the style of Robobot.
Okay.
Just because, I mean, like that's that if you look back at the recent Kirby releases on the 3DS, Triple Deluxe and Robobot, both kind of share the same engine.
Yeah, mm-hmm. definitely.
So and so I think they're not, they're like, if the 3DS is winding down, and that's an if, and I know I said earlier today, you know, Pikmin's going to be the last, it's going to be the swan song. So I was wrong. I'm sorry, you know, but if this, if they are kind of winding down, I can't see them making a new engine for a Kirby game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's another, like, cause these games, they're trying to like put together a bunch of stuff to celebrate the 25th anniversary. And I think that if they were really doing some sort of big multiplayer action game for Kirby, they probably would have done it on the Switch, because there's nothing on the Switch to celebrate Kirby that we know of. So I assume this is just, hey, we still got this engine, let's just milk it for a little bit more and put together some multiplayer Kirby game thing.
The Switch is too new for Kirby.
Yeah. Nothing is too nuke for Kirby, Jesse.
Kirby likes the end-of-life hardware. Yeah.
Can I ask a question before we move on to ARMS and Splatoon? Did I know they announced Monster Hunter Stories. Did they announce any amiibo for it at all?
Nope.
No.
Do you think that it will have amiibo functionality here?
I doubt it. I think that, did it have any amiibo functionality separate from the amiibo that were Monster Hunter themed, or was it because if what so,
did,
maybe
what did the amiibo do in the Japanese version?
I don't know. Maybe gave you like outfits or something. I'm not.
The reason I asked is because I went and looked up the QB amiibo on Amazon, and the Monster Hunter Stories amiibo are really cheap right now, even like to import. Like really? $14.80.
Oh wow.
Yeah. And they're like a little bit larger than regular amiibo. So that might be something that if you're out there and you're listening and you wanted these, I mean, like on American Amazon right now, the one-eyed Rathalos and Mail Rider is $15.08.
Huh.
That's with prime shipping. So like the most expensive Monster Hunter amiibo is a girl. A Yuria
of course
and
it is.
Barioth.
Of course it is. Of the course.
Cat,
it,
the least expensive is the weird cat looking thing.
Yeah. This game Navarro. Looks, yeah, but yeah, they're like riding on these big beasts. That's cool. They're cool amiibo. It's too bad that they weren't announced for here. But yeah.
We may still see them. I mean, they may just be saving that for later.
Maybe. When does that game come out? That game comes out in the fall. Yeah. So there's still time for them to announce those. Yeah. All right, so let's talk about ARMS. ARMS, Marty, you said that this sold you on ARMS. I feel like they didn't really show us, and mind you, I have been watching those videos as they've been releasing them. They showed us a couple of, or they showed us at least one new character, and maybe they, you know, had some little icons in the background of other characters as well. But they did show Min Min, who has noodle arms, and one of her arms turns into a dragon, which is pretty awesome.
She's living ramen.
Yep. Yeah, which is awesome. So she's pretty cool. And then they just basically showed off the customizability of this game. One of the things that I noticed in it, there was like, there was a very long period of time in the gameplay footage where neither of their health bars were moving, and I was like, oh, is this going to be one of those games where you just trade parries and that's it, and you know, that sort of a thing, which I guess could be fun as well. Like, I know that Smash Brothers sometimes can be like that too, but yeah, it was pretty cool. So you said that you got sold on it, though. You're sold.
Yes. I think this may be the new Splatoon.
Really?
I really do. I mean, like, I was not as sold on it at first, especially during the Switch reveal, but seeing the fluidity of the fighting today in that game, and the 2v2 mode, and the new characters, and just, it looks like it doesn't look like something that they're doing halfway. Looks mm-hmm. like they're going all in on this game. And like, the thing that I know about Nintendo is like when they go all in on a game and they work to make like each character different and they make it feel good, and there's all these little bells and whistles, it always ends up being worth your time. So like, I think they're really going to put a lot into this, and I'm excited about what the future holds for it. You know, I mean, like, I'm looking forward to playing this with people.
Yeah, totally. I agree. It's it looks very cool. I'm really excited about it. So yeah, it's gonna be interesting. I'm excited about the potential here. So yeah, we gotta You got to bail out, dude?
Yeah, I gotta be. I'll be right back.
Okay, no worries. We will hold down the fort. So, So I think Arms looks interesting. Josh, what do you think about Arms? How do you feel about it? Are you excited? Is this?
I am up in arms over this game. I gotta hand it to Nintendo. This is a real. I don't know. What am I doing?
Amazing.
No, I think it's. I think it's just like very minuscule steps forward every time we see it. I want there to be tons of characters. Yep. I want there to be tons of arenas. I kind of wish there were items that would drop when you're playing, like special like power ups that would just show up in the field. I did like that they did show some sort of mini game challenge mode thing where you were like hitting targets and you were getting like points or something that you'd use to unlock stuff. I like that. I want to see more of that kind of stuff. I love the character design. It's amazing. And so I feel like right now my stance on it is just I want to see how much content is there, and I really hope they flesh this out and it's not bare bones.
Yeah, totally. Because I think it's cool that there's so much customizability. The real trick with that is going to be to see if is this going to be something where you actually have legitimate different styles of play. Or is it just like the internet all goes online and agrees that this is the overpowered layout and this is how you play and it becomes that? Because that's the tricky part with a game with that much customizability is that there's inevitably going to be something that is way stronger than everything else. And then it just doesn't become fun anymore. And so if they're really willing to be dedicated to balance for this game, I think that that'll be really fun. But some of the things about this game though have me a little bit worried about it that maybe they're not as confident in this game. One of them is that they didn't put it in that May time slot. They put it in the middle of June, which I thought was a little bit weird, right? I think that means that nothing is in the May time slot and they're just relying on Mario Kart to carry through from the end of April until the middle of June. As far as their big retail releases. Also notably, there's no amiibo for this, which if they were really excited about it, I know that Splatoon is coming a month later, but it's weird that they don't have any amiibo for this either. That tells me maybe they aren't as, that Nintendo is not seeing it, as one of their big top tier new franchises, but that's just, you know, that's just speculation, but.
Well, it could be because these characters have very flimsy limbs, and that, I mean, you know how Nintendo is with their putting the weird clear plastic on the bottom of Link's boots so that he doesn't snap off. So can you imagine the nightmare they'd have trying to get those arms to be a figure?
Imagine though, if like, just like the Guardian amiibo, that they had like the flexible arms.
Mm-hmm, that'd be amazing. These would be expensive amiibo if they tried to do that.
Yeah, which is not exactly what they want for that. Yeah, granted.
Not for a new IP. Yeah, if you have expensive amiibo for a new IP, people are gonna be like, "What is this?" But I agree. I mean, I know Roger really wants some Ribbon Girl action figures. He tells me about it every night. He's a little weird, honestly. We can say that, right?
Yeah,
Roger found a new waifu.
He does. Yeah, I bet he thinks Noodle Girl is his new waifu as well. Mm-hmm. What's her name?
Min Min. Yeah. So
isn't it weird that the pasta character isn't Italian?
Yeah, but she's ramen, and that makes sense, I guess, right?
Very, very Chinese.
I love that this game is basically I wouldn't say offensive, but it's as offensive as the old stereotypes of Punch Out. I think is kind of amazing.
Yeah.
Do you guys think of the announcer?
Justin said that he and again I don't think that announcer is going to be as annoying in the final game, but Justin made the connection of the how they used the Smash Brothers announcer when they were advertising that game in all the directs, and they did like that 50 things about Smash Brothers where they like overused the announcer voice. I think he's all right. Like, I don't think he's terrible. But
I think he's not actually, I don't think he talks in the game. And I think that was just, let's just have, a voice from somebody at Nintendo of America for the announcer.
I hope so, because that's about what it sounded like.
That thing had a weird design with the hand on the head. Or what is that?
It's an arm, Jesse. It's all about arms in this game. Can't you tell?
Well, he breaks the law of like what this game is. I thought it was a static arm.
It wasn't a stringy arm.
Yeah, it was weird.
Yeah, but what is he though? Because he's like, he doesn't look at all humanoid, yet he doesn't seem like he's a robot or something. So is there more wackiness to this game than they have shown us yet? Because everybody else has been a human, but this thing is like some weird little creature.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm excited about it though. I think it'll be cool.
Yeah.
So they also showed off neon yellow Joy-Con and Joy-Con straps that are also releasing on June 16th. As soon as I saw them, I was like, oh, I want to get, wait a minute, that would be $100 Canadian. Maybe I won't get those.
But they're neon yellow, Zach.
I know. Do they come in a two-pack? Or, I mean, do they come in a single pack?
Because I think they're two-pack only. I think Nintendo stopped selling the singles if they ever started. Yeah, I haven't seen them.
Yeah. So I don't know. Those are really cool. I have 4 Joy-Con already, and I don't need any more. So that's kind of where I'm. That's kind of where I'm at, though. I don't know.
Maybe you'll get lucky like me, and your Joy-Cons will barely ever work, and you'll have a reason to get some new ones.
Yeah, that's probably. Actually, I do have my. When I bought the new set, my red left Joy-Con is like it's garbage. So.
A new set had a default one or like a defective one. I mean,
like the not the one that came with my Switch, but the second one. Yeah,
man, I kind of want them to iron that out. It's funny every time when I play games, I have like my foot up on my knee, like on my left knee, and the Switch does not like that at all. It's like no. And I'm really close. I'm literally like 4 feet away from my system when I'm playing, like from the TV even. So. I don't know. Like, I really hope Nintendo. I kind of wish they would have announced that in this direct, where they're like, "Oh, by the way, and these yellow Joy-Cons have been improved from you know the latency problems or whatever it is."
Yeah.
But
that would require them to admit it publicly.
Yeah, they can't do
outside
that.
outside of press release of their firm PR language.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hope these yellow ones have improvements to the technology in some way, because I don't know. I really want to buy more Joy-Cons, but it's like, well, I kind of want to buy them when they got like a new batch that's really good.
Yeah.
But the fact that they are continuing on with neon colors has me so excited, because I was hoping for that. So yellow is like a perfect. Oh my gosh. Think about how amazing that yellow Joy-Con is going to look with that.
My daughter's ready for a purple one.
There you go, neon purple. I'm down for that too. That would have been good with the yellow. They should have had two colors.
I showed her the mock-up that someone did of the same colors from the original GameCube, and she says, "I don't like that shade. I want it darker."
See, like looking at these, like this looks like the neon yellow looks like it's more neon. My problem comparing the neon red to the neon blue is the neon blue is not neon enough compared to the red, right? Like
the red is
The red's blinding. Crazy. The yellow looks like it's probably going to be even more blinding than the red.
Is it going to glow in the dark?
Yeah, like
that. That'd be an amazing Joy-Con. Cool.
And like this is like I don't know. It's almost like these neon yellow are like a post chemotherapy yellow sort of thing with like it's bad. It's very yellow, very very yellow.
I'm okay with that. Yellow is a color that gives you a headache. I will love to have headaches when I play Switch games. Jesse hit onto something, though, because imagine special neon Joy-Cons that come like bundled with Luigi's Mansion Switch.
Oh,
and they're like, ooh, they're ghosts.
That would be awesome.
Oh my gosh, dude. Yes.
That'd be incredible.
On the topic of Joy-Con.
You want a $150 game.
On the topic of Joy-Cons, by the way, for those of you who are having trouble with battery life for your Joy-Cons, which... I don't know, and wanted to use double A's to power your Joy-Cons, which I don't see the need for this at all, but, you know.
Comfort.
Yeah, I think they are probably going to be for comfort as well. Joy-Con double A battery packs releasing June 16th. So, as well. So, alongside ARMS. I think, Josh, I think that really you're onto something, and I think that's what I thought too, is that it seems like they probably will help you hold the Joy-Cons in a more comfortable position, because those things are so thin that if you're trying to punch with those things, that could be a problem. I don't know. So it'll be interesting to see those. I'm interested to get, like, I'm assuming that Nintendo has probably had some, you know, IGN or somebody like visiting with all these games that they've announced, some sort of press event. I'm interested to see impressions about those Joy-Cons, the battery packs, because I can
give you some impressions right now.
Okay.
Oh,
they look terrible.
You think so?
They look stupid. Like, why do you need a Joy-Con battery pack? The Joy-Con battery is 20 hours.
Okay, so here's
like, your Switch is going to die and need to be recharged multiple times.
Okay, so here's the one thing the one thing that I will say about this is that actually makes me consider it is this. I now have an option now that I have bought this second set of Joy-Cons, I have not purchased a charging grip yet. Up here, it's $40 for a charging grip. And so now I'm looking at this and thinking I could either do this or do the charging grip. And but we buy those Costco packs of double A's that last forever and whatever.
Here's the thing, though. Here's one of the things that you need to consider with that, though, is that those charging packs with the double A batteries are not going to fit in any grip.
Right. No. Yeah. So what I'm saying is that this would.
I know you're going to use them like for other things, but like, you realize that this is just going to I wonder if Nintendo just realizes this is going to cause another quote unquote outrage storm. You know, about like, oh, the battery packs won't fit in the grip.
Yeah.
Well, people are going to flip out. They flipped out about everything about the Switch already. Mm-hmm. Might as well add this to the list.
Because these are basically they're basically a replacement for the Joy-Con strap. Right, like that's what they're for. Is instead of using the strap, you use this. Because they do actually the rail on it actually is connected to the battery pack, so it connects to the Joy-Con via the rail on the Joy-Con. So you can't use it with the charging grip. They're a replacement for that strap, and so I don't know. I don't know. We'll see.
Did they announce them in the Japanese Direct?
Yes.
Okay, I was going to say this might be them thinking, hey, Westerners have big fat hands. We need a bigger controller for those Westerners.
Actually, in the Japanese one, they also announced that they were going to be selling them separately, whereas they did not announce that here.
So maybe, I don't know what they want with this then.
Sorry, when I say that, I mean the yellow Joy-Con. But yeah.
I meant like the battery charger thing. I was thinking maybe that's more of them thinking we need the controllers to be bigger for larger hands.
Mm-hmm.
If they didn't announce it in Japan, that would make me think that's why they did it.
The double Joy-Con charging grip things for individual AA business here or whatever. 3280 yen for that, which sounds like it's about the same price as the charging grip. So I think
it'd be about like $30 to $35 US. So about $45 Canadian, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the thing is too, with these is that this, I think, fits the lifestyle of somebody who uses the Switch maybe more portably or as a more of a party system or something, where it's like the charging grip is like, yeah, whatever. I don't need this charging grip. Whereas this actually may, if you have an additional set of Joy-Con, it serves as a way to charge that extra set on the go instead of using the dock and the charging grip. So I don't know.
I still have the four port charging solution for Joy-Cons pre-ordered through Amazon that had, for some reason, hasn't come out yet. So I'm decided that I'll just continue to wait for that because I haven't had any issue with my Joy-Con batteries.
Mm-hmm. Oh, has the four charger not come out yet?
I don't think so. At least it hasn't.
It's supposed to be March 31st, right?
Well, originally it was supposed to come out day and date with the Switch, but it got pushed back a number of times from Amazon, at least.
Wow. Yeah.
So that's that. Then after that, any other thoughts about ARMS, by the way? It looks good. I'm excited for it. I'm a little bit sad that it's not out until June 16th. That seems late.
Yeah. Yeah.
That should have been at the end of May. But it is actually It is actually coming out after E3, which means that they'll probably be showing it at E3, which is something that I'm not interested in them showing this game off at E3. I just want it to be out.
Here's something I have a question for you guys about ARMS. Maybe this is just me, but I find it incredibly dull to watch footage of ARMS, whereas I think playing this game is going to be super fun, but watching it looks – it's so boring to me to watch this game.
It's similar to – I have a similar experience with the game that we're going to talk about. Maybe like I don't think we'll talk about it too much other than just to say right now everybody should be going out there and buying Graceful Explosion Machine on Switch. But it's kind of the same thing where you watch footage of that game and it's like, ah, this looks kind of cool. But then you actually play it and it's like, oh my gosh, this game is so good. So, so yeah, I like a similar sort of thing where there's certain kinds of games that are really fun to watch and others that aren't. And ARMS seems more like it's just not that fun to watch.
Because it's people throwing their hands at each other nonstop, really. It seems like it's a little repetitive when you're just watching it. But I think watching people play in person would probably be silly and fun.
And not only that, but I think once you play, it's kind of like watching Smash Brothers 2, where like
if you're good, it's better to watch.
Yeah, if you know how to play the game and you see what they're doing and how like you can kind of understand what's happening in the moment, then it's actually much more interesting to watch. So
yeah.
Yeah, I think that's, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, where we Smash, I have no idea what's going on half the time.
Mm-hmm. Whereas, like, you watch, like, people who are really into Smash Brothers really, like, oh, man, he did some tech dash, roll, wave dash thing with a back tilt. I don't know. See, I don't watch
that. Yeah, I used to listen to Roger's Japan Time podcast and have no idea what he's talking about when he starts getting technical.
Yeah.
How does that differ from any other thing Roger talks about?
Most of what he talks about, I can understand. It's just that goes over my head.
Yeah.
I'm ragging on Roger a lot in this podcast. That's okay. I apologize. Roger knows I love him.
We haven't had Roger on the show for a while. We should probably have him.
This is get him on here one of these times. I want to listen to Roger on here with you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. So then they go into the Switch headline thing. They go back to the headlines. First up was Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, which comes out in a couple of weeks here. Interestingly, they did not show off the bundle that was supposedly leaked, which I still don't like. Supposedly this leaked from like a Russian Nintendo website, but then also, the image was of a gray Switch box with like colored Joy-Cons on the side. And I don't even know what's real anymore with this whole leak thing.
Like, yeah, but you've got to admit it's on sale. So it's real.
Yeah, which makes it even weirder. The fact that it was Russia for some reason, like that's probably tainting it for me too. I don't know, but I don't know. So anyways, in North America at least, there is no Switch bundle, which I don't think that they're going to do that here anyways, because they can barely keep up with demand of the normal bundles that they have right now. Right, the two SKUs that they have, there's no reason for them to overcomplicate that. So
there will be a bundle in the holiday season, I believe.
I think so.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
And I guarantee you that the color of the Joy-Cons on the front of the box will match the color of the Joy-Cons on the side of the box.
Well, you guys have the gray system, because does that have gray Joy-Cons on the side?
Oh yeah,
dude. It does.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It's weird. I don't understand. I have the multicolored one anyways. So I prefer that one. But to each his own. So Mario Kart 8 Deluxe.
Think we'll see a Mario Kart bundle for Christmas. Really?
Yeah. Yeah. They'd be stupid.
Unless they want to go ahead and do Odyssey with it.
I don't.
That's the only other thing I can see them doing.
You know what though? I don't like if you're going to. I think that Mario Odyssey is more. I think Mario Kart 8 Deluxe is going to draw more people in than, or at least is a better bundle. It's more appealing to a larger number of people than Mario Odyssey is. I think Mario Odyssey is going to be really great for hardcore Nintendo fans. But you don't like when the family gets together around the Switch, you don't play Mario Odyssey, you play Mario Kart. So like, I think that makes it a better bundle game.
Yeah, I think multiplayer games are better to bundle in. I actually have always felt like it would be 1-2 Switch bundled in, because that game probably won't be selling by itself for $50 for very much longer. And it's the kind of thing that you would, it's like a good holiday title, like, oh, over Christmas time, you guys can play 1-2 Switch. And how much money does Nintendo lose by giving 1-2 Switch away for free? Probably not much.
True. Yeah, honestly though, I wonder if including that game in a bundle makes it less appealing.
Well, not to a more like mainstream audience that doesn't doesn't have much of a judgmental bone in their body when it comes to video games.
Yeah, that's probably true. So next up, they talked about Ultra Street Fighter 2, The Final Challengers, which is coming out on May 26th, and looks cool. The Hadouken mode, where you actually hold them in your hands and like it's first person, that looks so dumb, but in like kind of the best way, where it's just like, why is that a thing? Like, in case you ever wanted to know what it would feel like to get sucked into the game and play as Ryu. Then now you know it's
when I saw that I was like, yeah, this is exactly what hardcore Street Fighter fans want to do. Motion controlled fake Hadoukens.
Oh man, it's so dumb.
The one thing that I do want to mention about that, I think, is that isn't that our first like official confirmation of that mode being in the game though?
I think there was screenshot somewhere at some point.
There's been screenshots, but and like most of the footage has been like Japanese, you know, almost leak style footage of people playing it.
It was definitely the first footage we've seen of it. Absolutely.
I think it was like the first like one where you go, okay, they're acknowledging this exists.
Yeah.
But I'm really excited for Street Fighter.
Mm-hmm.
Because I like Street Fighter 2. In fact, Super Street Fighter 2 is probably to me is the best one, is, you know, mm-hmm. that's the one I played hours and hours and hours of as a teenage boy. So
are you excited about playing this game with a Joy-Con turned sideways with just the joystick and the, because it seems like that's kind of how they, not how it's intended to be played, but you know what I mean?
I mean, I'll try it every way, but I'm probably going to end up playing it with a pro controller.
Yeah.
See, well, Marty, you can get that fancy arcade controller adapter thing for the Switch.
No.
Are you?
No.
Josh, do you have a pro controller or do you just use the Joy-Cons?
No, I learned my lesson with getting pro controllers after the Wii U because I never use them and they get insanely dusty. So I'm like perfectly happy just taking the Joy-Cons and docking them into the grip thing. Actually, I don't even do that when I play Zelda. I play them. I do the lounging thing that they were showing on stage where you have them separate.
Oh, really? I do have this. This is all I have. The grip.
The sticker.
With the sticker thing, you know, on it.
I got the stickers too. And then I went to try to find the envelope that had them in. I can't find them now.
Oh, really?
I
even have an envelope with Marty's address on it, ready to put a few in it to send it to him, and I can't find my stickers.
Oh yeah, so we're I'm interested in this. I'm gonna wait. I think I'm gonna sit on that and wait to hear from it. But what else happens? But yeah, it's interesting. It's cool. There's lots of indie games coming out too. It's interesting because the indie direct that was right before the Switch came out had so many games, and hardly any of them were announced or even talked about here. In fact, I don't think any of them were, other than maybe some of the Neo Geo things and stuff like that. But
I don't think there was any overlap.
Yeah, there wasn't really a whole lot of overlap. So which is pretty impressive that pretty much all of the games that they talked about today, none of those were ones that they talked about last time at that Indie Direct. So that's pretty impressive too. So Minecraft.
Can we all just agree though that all of those Neo Geo games could have been on one cart?
They're kind of taking those Neo Geo games are making the entire Switch eShop kind of a chore to navigate because they're there are so many of them. It's just like, would you just like put another little thing on the side that says Neo Geo games and then put them all there. And I don't want to see them anywhere else.
The other day, speaking of that, Nintendo has a problem with the eShop. And that is that when you go in to see, there's no all category.
Oh yeah.
There's best sellers. There's new releases. And if you don't know, like here's a great example. Like I've teased the idea for a minute of buying I Am Setsuna.
Yeah,
which I'm eventually going to buy, and I'm going to buy it for the Switch, but I went to look for it and couldn't find it.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually had to search for it. Like I had to type in I Am Setsuna. So you've got games that are have released and are earlier releases on the eShop that are no longer on a page. Like you can't scroll down to them. You can't find them. You have to manually type them in. That's an issue.
That is a serious issue. Well, I mean, what happened this week too, we actually ended up, the press release said that there was a demo for Just Dance. And so I was like, oh, I'll see if my kids like this, whatever. So I'm like, oh, there's a new demo that's brand new on the eShop for Just Dance. Just Dance is not on any of those pages. I had to search for it. And mm-hmm. the demo was brand new. And so, like, that is a serious problem.
Well, they're going to run into the same thing with – well, then maybe they won't run into the same thing with Puyo Puyo. But, I mean, like, there's nothing on the eShop that's like shows there's a demo. Because I went and downloaded it earlier, and you just have to go to the coming soon and know there's a demo.
Yeah.
So, you know, there needs to be some kind of major overhaul of how that works as we start. I mean, because there's a ton of stuff in the eShop right now. A lot of it's good.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, when I can find Vroom in the Night Sky and can't find I Am Setsuna.
Yeah, that's bad.
There's an issue there.
Yeah, I think that'll probably be fixed in the next couple of months, probably around E3. Hopefully before then, but we'll see. So that's that. Next up, by the way, Just Dance ended up buying it. Didn't realize it. I bought it on the eShop. Didn't realize it was almost 13 gigs. So that's a thing.
Wow.
Yeah. So
it's gotta be all the audio.
Fair warning to everyone that Just Dance is a huge game and will take up a large percentage of your hard drive.
And just for comparison, Mario Kart doesn't even take up that.
No, no, it doesn't. It's so
takes
it,
up half of that.
We've been having a lot of fun with that though. My kids have been having a lot of fun, and the four of us, all me and my wife and our two kids, were all dancing like maniacs for about an hour. Over the weekend. It's pretty fun.
My kids get up every morning and play it and call it gym class.
Nice. Very cool.
Like, yep. We're doing our gym class. We're doing our exercises. Like, that makes it okay. You know, like, cause we've told them don't play, video games before school. And they're like, oh no, we're not playing video games. We're having gym class.
Oh, okay.
Nice. Oh yeah.
Very cool. Right.
Little liars.
You're doing the stupid songs where you sit down. That doesn't even count. Yeah, which, by the way, was surprising that actually existed. Like, oh, this is a song from Little Mermaid, and so because you're a mermaid, you have to sit down while you do it, which, okay, whatever.
Odd.
Yeah. Anyways, back to the Nintendo Direct. Minecraft Nintendo Switch Edition is coming out on May 11th, retail at a later date, so it's only coming out on the eShop on May 11th. If you want a cartridge, you're going to have to wait for it, but this is... Minecraft on the Switch, I think, is a crazy good combination. I've paid so many times for this game that I don't know if I want to buy it again, but also I really like the idea of having it on the Switch. So
I really like the idea of having it on my Switch and being able to hand that to my son and occupy him for a while.
Yeah.
Because he loves Minecraft. Now, if they make it where it's easy to connect to people who are around you, mm-hmm. as you play, then I think that's good. Here's my question on this though. The Wii U version was based off the old Xbox 360 version.
Sure.
Of the game that was, smaller map wise than the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One versions.
Yep.
And was a little more limited, even though it was getting the same updates and things kind of around the same time. I wonder if this is the PlayStation 4 build. I wonder if this is the next gen build of Minecraft.
Would that make a difference?
Or are we just?
Yeah, I don't know. I think the question is, or at least a hint is that they are putting the Super Mario pack from the Wii U version on here. I'm sure that's probably compatible. Like, I don't see why that would.
Sure,
be
I would think.
With their
I mean, because
file system or whatever.
The Switch. I mean, the Wii U version got the same. Skins as like say the PlayStation 4 version, which is kind of funny when you think about it, because it had like the Mass Effect skin, and it had like the Skyrim skin and all kinds of stuff like right out of the Wii U release. So I would think that's just code, you know, that's just it's just graphical upgrades and stuff, but
it's just assets and stuff that transfers. Yeah, That'd be cool.
I don't know. Like, if I'm going to buy it again, that's something I need to know, because I don't want to pay for that same version of that same game again.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely like to see that for sure. I'm going to be honest with you, though. I would be surprised if it's the Wii U version.
No. I mean, I completely think it's going to be.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. But yeah, it's a cool thing. So May 11th for that. Neo Geo Samurai Showdown 4, I'm a blurga blurga blurga, is coming out tomorrow. And for next 2 weeks, you know, I don't know. Neo Geo games are going to keep coming out until there's none left to come out, and then they're going to have something else. I don't know. They're going to bog down my eShop and clutter things up. I don't want to see them anymore. I'm just getting really frustrated with Neo Geo games. I haven't bought any of them either. That's the funny thing. So, yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'll buy Metal Slug. Which one's better, Metal Slug or Metal Slug 3? Does anybody have a preference? Does anybody know?
Anyone? Somebody, I think, in our chat said that Metal Slug 3 was superior.
Is it?
Maybe that's the one that is the definitive one of the series, because there's Metal Slug 6 or 7.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if I even need to play that, though. So
it's kind of a one and done type thing.
Yeah.
Because they had the Metal Slug collection, you know, for Wii or Wii U.
Yeah.
I can't remember which one. And it took me maybe 30 minutes to make it through each game, because you have unlimited continues.
Nope, not doing that then.
So yeah, it's probably better to save your money.
Yeah. Next up is Sonic Forces, which is coming holiday 2017. This game looks, I'll keep an eye on it.
Cautiously optimistic.
Yeah, exactly. I'm really excited for Sonic Mania, being I talked about lots before. I was a Sega kid growing up, had a Genesis. My first real experience with console on the TV gaming was Sonic the Hedgehog 2. We didn't have an NES or anything. And when we got that Genesis, I was probably, when did that come out? It was about the time it was the, it would, my guess is
91, 92.
I want to say it was probably 90? The Christmas of 93, because we got Sonic the Hedgehog 2 and Jurassic Park. And those were the two games that we got for the Genesis that Christmas. And man, that, so for me, watching that Sonic Mania trailer just got me really excited again. That's coming out 2017 or summer.
You know, out of all the Sonic games, next gen Sonic games that have come out recently, Sonic Generations probably arguably the best, mm-hmm. even though it still had problems. So Sonic Forces kind of being the spiritual successor to, or the sequel to, Generations, with that, you know, the alternate universe cartoon Sonic showing up halfway through the trailer.
Retro Sonic, cool. Or whatever they call him. Yeah.
It'll be classic Sonic. I don't know.
Yeah. It's interesting to note that game is coming out at around the same time as Mario Odyssey is. And that's going to be a problem for that game, I think. I think they would maybe even be smart to delay that game until early 2018.
Unless they actually, you know, hire competent programmers who know how to keep a character from falling through the map into oblivion.
You know what, though? I don't care how good this game is. If this game comes out on, isn't it a Switch exclusive, or is it not? Maybe it's not. But
I think maybe it is.
If it is a Switch exclusive and it comes out on alongside Mario Odyssey, this game is going to get buried hard. And so I think that, I don't know. I think that is foolish to release it alongside Mario Odyssey.
It is not console exclusive.
Mm. Okay. Well, in that sense, maybe it's
it is for PS4, Xbox One, PC, and Nintendo Switch.
Yeah. Josh, are you excited about either one of these Sonic games?
Sonic Mania, I am, but Sonic Forces, Sonic Forces, another crappy 3D game down our throats, and I don't really care. But Sonic Mania, I like.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks really
looks
good.
Looks cool.
Yeah.
I'm on Team Mario. I still fight that fight from the 90s.
Yeah, it's an interesting, I don't know, it'll be really interesting to see. I feel like this is going to end up being that where several movies moved their release date when they found out when that Star Wars Episode 7 was coming out. Like, I feel like maybe that might happen, is that they're going to play chicken with that release date. And bank on the fact that maybe Nintendo isn't actually going to be done Mario Odyssey by then. And then they can kind of slide right in at that point. I don't know. The next one up here is Project Mikuru, working title, which is kind of a weird looking, I don't know. I was kind of trying to understand this game. This looks like it's very much in the same sort of, the same spirit as like Bomberman, as far as the kind of local multiplayer game. I don't know. Am I the only one getting that vibe?
It kind of looked like a offshoot of like Othello or something.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Flipping tiles to your color.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. I remember what this is now. Yeah, actually, I was excited by that. Like, as a neat little eShop game that kind of joins the ranks of Snake Pass and Snipper Clips, Fast RMX. Like, this kind of looks cool. This looks more fun to me than Bomberman on the Switch right now.
Yeah. Maybe it's just the grid-based sort of layout that is making me think of Bomberman.
That is exactly the thought that I had, Josh. This looks like what Bomberman should have been.
Yeah, you know what was really weird about Bomberman? It was realistic, but the cutscenes were colorful. This looks like what Bomberman's art style should have been.
The problem with this game when I first saw it was I had two thoughts. Number one, it looked really slow and clunky. Like, if you watch the characters move around, you know, they're going very slow in the beginning, and it's like, you can get power-ups to make yourself go faster. And then the second thing was that the second question I had was, is that all there is? Because if that is all there is, I don't know that that's a $40 or $50 game right there.
Oh, I think this is like a $10 to $20 downloadable game. That's the vibe I got.
That's kind of what it looks like to me, too.
Yeah, I didn't think this would be like a retail. I think this is just like, hey, here's another neat, unique, quirky eShop game for the Switch.
Hmm. Yeah, so I don't know. It'll be interesting. The thing is I guess my hesitation for it is, this does not look like a kind of game. Like, if you have people to play this with, it would be really fun if you could do them local multiplayer. This does not look like the kind of game that would be fun to play single player, even if you are playing against computer
opponents. That's why you guys have kids, though. You have built-in multiplayer.
Yeah, but my kids are 4 and 6 and don't know yet how to be a good sport when you lose or when you can't figure out the controls or... That's still a work in progress, so we're figuring that out still. But yeah, no, I hear what you're saying.
Maybe it's online. Did they announce that? If you could play it online,
See, then maybe that'd be a little bit different. That could be fun. Next up, we've got Fate Extella, which is coming on July 25th. I just did a quick Google search for this one. Recently came out on PlayStation 4 and PlayStation Vita. Current Metacritic score is 67%, which is, you know, I mean, Metacritic is what it is. Say what you will about it, but it looks like an RPG sort of. It's an action game, actually. Sorry, I should not say things I don't know. But yeah, so it's a very anime sort of game, which immediately makes me ask Jesse, are you interested? As a resident anime specialist,
No, this didn't really. The Hyrule Warriors, you know, that type of gameplay. You know, I'm not a fan of that type of gameplay. I kind of put up with it for the Zelda game. I tried playing it with Dragon Quest, and it didn't last very long. Mm-hmm. Though I'll probably try that again when and if that comes out in North America on the Switch. But I don't think any other skin, especially since I don't know these characters. These are apparently another franchise that is known by others, but not by me.
Yeah, and I'm kind of watching some gameplay footage here. I do like the art style. Like, it's very colorful. It's very like, it kind of reminds me of a less polished version of Tokyo Mirage Sessions, as far as just the color palette and things like that. But yeah, it's it you know, it is what it is. It's kind of, you're right, it's like those Dynasty Warrior type games.
It just kind of looked like a knockoff Hyrule Warriors to me.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, so that's,
I was thinking, do we need another one of these games?
Well, Fire I don't Emblem think it was made
by
too.
the Tecmo Koei group that normally does that type of games. You know, this was, you know, published by Exceed. Who knows who was developed by? So it's kind of a clone of that. You know, the Tecmo Koei is that's like the genre that they're best known for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's that one. Next one is Disgaea 5 Complete, coming out on May 23rd. And this one is, you know, if it's a strategy game, right? That's what that is.
Yeah, I think I tried like Disgaea 2 or 3, and I'm like, nope, I don't like this type of game.
Didn't they say that a demo will be coming at some point for this
game? They did.
Yeah, which is good. I think that's what I'm going to need from that in order to get it. So Disgaea 5 Complete. This was a launch game in Japan. So, yeah. Very cool. Puyo Puyo Tetris demo is out today. It's releasing on April 25th, which is pretty exciting. I downloaded the Japanese demo at launch, basically, and it was pretty fun. Some of the voiceover is a little bit more, I prefer the Japanese voiceover with some of the characters, but, you know, it's still pretty fun. I enjoy it, and I think that this is one I'm going to be getting eventually. I don't know when, though. Then a weird one, Monopoly, fall 2017.
Yes!
Are you excited about this, Josh?
I'm genuinely excited about this.
Yeah, I actually am too.
It actually looked pretty good.
Wow. I am genuinely shocked that all three of you are excited about this game.
And here's the deal. Like, I hate regular Monopoly. Like, the idea of playing a game of Monopoly, like getting it all out and setting it up and playing it, is the like akin to like having my flesh removed from my body.
Wow.
Played alive, but like it's the worst. It's one of the worst things I think of. But then I looked at that and it was like, oh, it sets it all up for you and you can just take it with you and you can play it. And I don't know, like, it was something about the way that the tokens interacted or something. I was just like, yeah, if this is $10 or $15, I may pick this up.
What was it? Wasn't there like a super, was it a Super Nintendo version of Monopoly?
Yes.
Or I think I remember
an
playing
NES that version of Monopoly.
Or was
there's
it NES?
Been many versions over the years.
Yeah.
I remember playing that. See, I'm not opposed to the idea of a Monopoly game for Switch. I just think that if you're going to do that, go beyond that sort of real estate sort of city theme and add some pizzazz to it. You know what I mean? And that it looked very vanilla Monopoly, which I think is one of my big problems with it. Also, it was funny. I showed my wife the trailer and she was like, oh, really? Like, why would you want to do that? That game is so boring.
They didn't say there would be like other tokens and other boards you can unlock.
Customize the buildings and stuff, I think, that go up.
So they just showed the initial stock standard board, I'm sure.
Yeah. See, so maybe. I don't know. I don't want to play.
Somebody was telling me that this is actually a port of the PlayStation 4 game that already exists, but they added in the like tabletop looking mode for the Switch. Like, apparently this is a port of a game that's a few years old. I don't know if that's true. This could just be somebody assuming.
That's interesting, though.
I don't know. I mean, I actually, this is a fun.
With the rumble for rolling dice?
Yeah, that seems like it'd be cool. That'd be HD rumble is something I never think about, so they need to do more with that. But I legit play Monopoly in my garage with friends in the summertime, and we get way too aggressively into it. And we kind of make up our own rules, and like, I frequently cheat by taking money out of the bank when they're not looking. So I kind of feel like playing it on a game, you can't cheat. It takes a lot of the fun out of it for me. How am I going to cheat in the video game?
Totally.
But,
by the way,
okay, but I like it.
So looking at this, on the PlayStation Store right now, for the PlayStation, it's a PSN game, and the screenshots look exactly the same.
Okay.
And it's $15. So there you go.
The Switch version will be $60.
Yep, exactly. Also, there is an add-on called Monopoly Plus, Just Dance. So that's a thing.
Wait, Are you joking?
No. I don't understand what this is. Hang on. Now we got to go down this rabbit hole.
The Monopoly Man dancing around and you have to dance with Monopoly Man.
It's got like some horrible. Weird panda thing. Let's move with the Monopoly Just Dance DLC. Add some fun and colors to your board with the Awesome Worlds 1 dance game. Awesome Worlds.
So this is developed by Ubisoft.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, so that's important to note. This DLC contains a whole customized board with an animated token. So it's basically, you don't actually dance. It's just all of the weird hyper-saturated characters from the Just Dance franchise.
What would be hilarious is if you sent a property to auction and you had to have a dance-off for it. It's exactly. Like whoever dances the best gets the property.
Yeah, exactly. So
I'd be on board for that.
Very funny.
Bored because it's a board game?
You got it.
Oh, that's bad.
Well, you know what's cool about the Switch version, though? Did you guys see, like, in the trailer they showed, they just take their Switch with them and they put it down on a flat surface, and it's like you're looking at a top-down view of a zoomed-in portion of the game board, which seemed like that's a really interesting thing. Like, I'm actually almost open for more board game-type things that you can play on the go with the Switch. That's, like, a whole category, I feel, that it could do.
There's a ton of board game apps of old and modern board games for iOS and Android, and somebody, if they would just start porting those over, I would switch them to the Switch like that.
Oh, dude,
I
mean, yeah. Do like Ticket to Ride or something like that, right? Like,
yeah, Ticket to Ride, Carcassonne, Catan. Oh, I mean, we're going to get into a whole nother rabbit hole if we don't watch ourselves here.
All right, yeah, let's keep moving then. So next up, we've got Rayman Legends Definitive Edition coming sometime in 2017. That is... the one, you know, that game that Ubisoft, this is the Ubisoft part of the direct, I guess. They're going to be bringing that over from the Wii U, making it the definitive edition. I don't know. I think I played the demo of this game at some point, but that's about it. I don't know.
That's the game that they were going to make exclusive for the Wii U. Then they shot themselves in the foot with a PR disaster when they brought it to every other system and announced that it was done, but they're delaying the Wii U version so that it launches the same time as the others. Remember that whole debacle? There was like people saying free Rayman, and it was like a huge deal back in the day.
Yeah.
And then the game didn't end up selling too well, and now they're making a definitive version of it for the Switch. I don't know. Not really that interested.
There was a lot of ill will that came from that, from how they handled that game back in the day. And I don't know. That's the thing, is that from what I actually played of that game, it was fun, but I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. So, the next one here is Cinemora EX, which is this the steampunk looking, shoot 'em up? Is that what this is? Oh no, I'm thinking of two different games at once. This is the shoot 'em up though. From THQ Nordic, which we were all like, when we were live reacting, we were like, wait, I thought THQ was dead. What? So
someone must have bought the name.
Yeah, maybe. So this is that shoot 'em up game. Looks interesting. It looks like it's probably going to be an eShop game by the looks of it. Could be fun though. Definitely looks like it's a good looking game too, right? Like it's very detailed, you know, good graphics. And cool style, but anybody interested in this one? Are you looking at it? Or
I love shoot 'em ups, especially side scrollers.
Yeah,
and yeah, I think I'm in for this one. The price, it's going to depend on the price.
Yep, yeah, I hear you. The next one up here is Battle Chasers Night War, which is this something? This is the one with the sweet. Okay, this one is on PS4 as well. So Battle Chasers Night War is a game that comes out. It's a classic RPG.
Yeah, it kind of looked like Diablo-ish.
Yeah, I'm just kind of looking through here as we're talking about it. So it's actually out on PlayStation 4. Nope, it's not. It's TBA 2017. So when it is announced or when it releases, it'll be for both. But that game looks really cool. It's late summer 2017.
Is this the one that said it would be like a timed exclusive on Switch? One of these games did.
I don't know.
I don't remember which one, though.
All I remember is that I really am digging the art style. Battle Chasers, I think this is the one that has that's based on a comic book. And it looks really cool. Like, it definitely has that sort of fantasy comic book sort of art style, which is really awesome looking. So we'll see how that goes. I'm not sure if it's it was a Kickstarter. Funded, yeah, I'm just finding a thing from September 2015. Battle Chasers Night War funded on Kickstarter with PS4 and Xbox One versions. So there you go. Now we know. So it's a game that exists. Coming late 2017 or late summer 2017. Payday 2 coming sometime in 2017. Is anybody excited for that? That's a thing.
No.
Namco.
The general reaction of that was like on the YouTube video, like comments was, I bought this for Steam on Steam for $1. Played it really? For 6 hours, and yeah.
It's Metacritic is 71. IGN gave it an 8.3. So that's, I don't know. It could be. Oh my gosh! Initial release date August 13th, 2013. So this game is like going to be 4 years old by the time it comes out, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but it is an older game. It's not, I don't know. It's a sort of a co-op first-person shooter heist game from the looks of it. Yeah. Namco Museum. Jesse, you said you were excited about this.
I was initially, and then I saw all the other games and I'm like, I guess there's like maybe two or three games here that I care about. Most of the others I wouldn't. Mm-hmm. But I am interested in the vertical mode.
Yeah, that's kind of cool how you can... Now, and they said, yeah, you can put it in vertical mode, but then when they showed it on screen, it was like it was cropped, probably because it was in docked mode, is what I would guess. I guess if you're in handheld mode, then maybe you can actually turn the
I'm sure they don't have a way to properly capture vertical mode.
Yeah.
It, with their tools, because they'll be doing it landscape.
Yeah, so that's interesting, but it's coming out summer 2017. Finally, they said the Nintendo Switch dock will be available May 19th. Limited quantities is what they're saying.
That's what they yeah.
Which is code for pre-order it as soon as you see it because it will be gone and it's going to be hard to find. That's what that means. But that means that is the same kind of language that they used for the GameCube adapters and all that stuff. So, Marty, you
I am willing to bet, right? That we won't see a pre-order for this.
You think so? You think it's just going to show up?
No, I think it's just going to show up and it's going to be first come, first serve. It's going to be like the NES Classic.
No, yeah. And, you still got the replacement dock from the website.
I did.
Right?
I had to buy the replacement dock and the USB, the AC adapter separate.
Yeah. Okay. And so,
and it ended up costing, without an HDMI cord, it ended up costing $10 more than this package does. But, for $90, if you want an extra dock, then this is a pretty good deal.
It comes with an AC adapter, right? Is that what you said?
Comes with the AC adapter, an HDMI cord, and the dock.
Okay. So there you go. Right on. Finally, they announced some Splatoon contest, some tournament. The Splatoon US Inkling open qualifiers April 22nd with finals on the 29th. Open to anyone 18 years or older. Winners will win a trip to E3 2017. So that's pretty exciting. Any bet that they have some sort of, do you think they do like a redo of like what they did with the Smash Brothers? What if they were to do like the Smash Brothers or tournament, if they were to do like a Splatoon tournament, that could be kind of cool. But we'll see about that.
I can see them doing that. Yeah, especially with like the way they revealed the Switch in this like tournament setting with Splatoon, remember? So I can see them wanting to do that this year because Splatoon 2 doesn't even launch before E3. So again, that adds more validity to that, if that's even
what would be cool is if they did it where like the winners got to go and compete against a team of Nintendo Treehouse folks in Splatoon 2. It's as a live Treehouse broadcast.
Yeah.
You know, that, I mean, just, you know, that adds to the Splatoon 2 hype. Totally. Why wouldn't they do that?
Totally. That'd be super cool. Speaking of Splatoon 2, they talked about, they unveiled basically what is a horde mode for Splatoon, a co-op yes. horde mode, which looks super cool. I'm hoping that they have more than one map, like that they don't just have one map for horde mode. That would be kind of lame, but I don't think that's going to be the case. Maybe it will be, but they've got horde mode in there, which is really cool. I love the character designs of these new, what do they call them? The
salmon.
Is that, do they call them salmon?
Oh, well, maybe not.
I think the grunts they just called chum or something, didn't they?
Yeah.
So. There was, they kept calling them something else though. That it was like the guy who was speaking, he had a weird, I don't know how to describe it.
He's from
the, it wasn't a weird accent or anything, but it was
just like weird mannerisms and everything.
Well, no, I mean, just like it was weird the way he was saying it. I don't know.
He was like supposed to be some sort of a researcher.
I don't know if he was saying salmon or if he was saying like some other thing.
Yeah. So the mode is called Salmon Run, which mm-hmm. is, I don't know. It's a thing, but basically what it is, they bring you, they drop you in, for, you know, a 4-player co-op, and they, you know, and you basically have these enemies coming out from, yeah, the big, huge enemy is called the Steelhead. And they, the horde mode or the enemies will drop their ink and kind of prevent you from moving in, but they're just coming in and trying to destroy and take over the whole island. And you've got to hold them off for as long as possible and get as many golden eggs as possible. You can revive your teammates by shooting them with ink, which is cool. They don't just automatically respawn on their own. But it's like a horde mode survival thing, which is really awesome. I'm really interested in this. This looks like a really fun sort of mode for people who maybe aren't as interested in the competitive side of Splatoon, right? Like this is kind of making, giving some more appeal to this game and having some long-term replayability, which I think is pretty exciting. I'm really excited about this mode for sure.
I knew that I wasn't crazy about this. They're actually called Salmonid.
Salmonid?
Yeah, so like salmon like with an ID at the end.
Like humanid and salmonid? Okay, sure.
Salmonid.
All right.
So you've got like now you've got the Inklings, the Octarians, and the Salmonid.
Yeah. Which they did mention at the end. They mentioned at the
I
end as
this
well.
This was a super cool mode as well, Zach. Like the addition of this as another way to play the game. And one thing that I really did like, it looks like that the character classes are locked for this. Like there'll be one roller, one sniper, one splatter shot, and one something, you know, I guess the dualies.
Mm-hmm.
And like, cause it showed, you know, those being used in different ways. Yeah. Like, you know, the sniper being able to shoot people across the map to revive them. So I can kind of see it like being like a team, you know, like you've got a specialist of each kind going in.
Yeah. Well, it actually really reminds me of in Overwatch recently, just this past week, they put in a new PvE, like a player versus environment, if you don't know what that is, but like a co-op mode where you're fighting off a huge army of robots. And again, those four characters are set, right? So you've got like Reinhardt, the big tank guy, and Torbjorn, the engineer, and Tracer, and the healer, Mercy. And so you've got all your different roles that are locked in place so they can really balance that experience and make it really fun. If that's what they're doing with this, then that's really cool. I hope that there is enough of that to really chew on, though, and get a lot of really good content mm-hmm. out of that, because that looks awesome. So, they also announced the Amiibo, which we talked about before, and the Amiibo mode, which seems like a... Like, because last time it unlocked a bunch of weird new, it unlocked challenge modes. This one looks like you get to save your style, like your Inkling style to the Amiibo and hang out with them and take pictures of your Inklings, which, okay, you know, that's cool. I don't know what else to say about that other than that it's a thing, but I don't know. What
it's something that should just be a default feature in the game, being able to save a couple loadouts. You know what I mean? Like, I felt like that was something in the original Splatoon I really wish I could do, because myself and friends would always have to back out. Like, we'd be playing together, and then we'd have to back out, and it'd be like, oh, now we got to both back out or something because the room is full. So just being able to, like, have loadouts of what gear and weapon you want to use, maybe three of them, should just be a default feature in the game, and applying that to an amiibo seems a little bit... Nah.
Yeah, and I'm interested to see exactly how the original amiibo all function in the game, too. I don't know if those unlock specific things for that, or if it's just like all boy amiibos unlock one thing, all girl amiibos unlock something else, all squid amiibos unlock something else. I don't know. But what do Callie and Marie do? Who knows? But yeah, so July 21st is when that game comes out, which is sooner than I thought that was going to be. I was almost convinced that was going to be August. I wasn't sure, but I'm happy to see that it's in July. It's like just over a month after ARMS. And that's more what I'm thinking, is I'm surprised that there's only a month between ARMS and Splatoon, because that seems like normally Nintendo is okay with having July kind of be empty. You know what I mean? Like, so it's like, that's, it's just surprising that they usually don't launch anything really big in July. So I don't know.
They usually do have a multiplayer game come out in July though.
Do they?
I guess maybe more so in Japan, because I definitely have tons of memories of getting multiplayer games from like the GameCube and the Wii era in July.
Okay. I guess more recently they haven't really had.
Maybe they've switched that up. Yeah. I actually agree. I think that there should be more time put between ARMS and Splatoon, because, you know, maybe people don't have the money to like buy two $60 games so close to each other. And obviously they're going to be like, well, I know Splatoon, I've played Splatoon, it's really fun, I'm going to buy Splatoon 2 and maybe I'll get ARMS some other time. That's why I really think ARMS should have made that May release date, sometime in May, so you have more time between ARMS and Splatoon so people could like save money or whatever.
Yeah, at this point too, like you wonder, like then you're butting up against Mario Kart. And so are they really saying Mario Kart and Splatoon for sure? Like those are the big ones. And at this point, like, let's give people enough time between Mario Kart and ARMS. So they're like, it's been a while. I kind of want a new game, and then pick up ARMS. And then Splatoon is almost immediately afterwards. And either you're going to get Splatoon or you're not. I hear what you're saying. It's interesting. It's nice to have all three of those between now and July. We're going to have those three games, which is awesome. Right. So like, which is, you know, so we've got May, June, July. So within 3 months, we are going to have three games. It's just there's a weird spacing issue with that. So,
yeah, I feel like Mario Kart should have launched by now. I think that game should have been like very early April, maybe even very late March. I feel like that is something that had to have been done for quite some time now. So I think their spacing there is a little bit off. I think Mario Kart should have been earlier. And I think every release date actually that I've seen from Nintendo, except for the like March 3rd releases, should have been earlier than it has been.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I agree. So that is the, that's it. That was the direct. Any final thoughts on that, guys, before we kind of, it's been 2 hours. Any final thoughts on the direct? What's our overall grade for this? Was there anything like, Josh, how do you feel about the direct overall?
I think it's weird. There was less information about the two main games, ARMS and Splatoon 2, and more information about stuff that I didn't expect. They talked about a lot more than what they hinted at. I thought for sure this was going to be like, oh, hey, you know, Mario Kart's coming out, and you know, here's a couple other things. But we're going to talk about Splatoon 2 and ARMS for like 15 minutes each. And they really didn't do that. We just kind of got, you know, like a little bit of information about ARMS, a new character, some new stadiums. And then a little bit of information about Splatoon 2. I thought there'd be more information about them. And then I was shocked to see just how much more they covered. I was disappointed by release dates, you know, like we've already said. But I give it a B- overall. I mean, I think there were some surprises there. Like I said, I liked Monopoly. I liked that weird Bomberman kind of thing. The Pikmin game with the amiibo is pretty cool, I think. And so, yeah, I mean, I think there were some pleasant surprises. My big disappointment definitely lies within the release schedule. And it does worry me a little bit that maybe Nintendo could eventually fall victim of the problem they've had for a long time now, which is we go too long without releases that are important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I think I think maybe it would be maybe like a I'd probably give it maybe like a B. Yeah, B probably. I think maybe even a B plus. I think that specifically what I find interesting is Nintendo lately is doing a much better job at making me more interested in third party games. Like, and I don't know why I am more interested. I think maybe it's probably a product of A, the fact that I have a Switch and I want to play stuff on it. And I'm constantly looking for new things on the Switch to play. And so like for that, like they spent a lot of time, really, you know, showing off third party stuff, which I think is great. I think that the fact that they, not only are they inviting those third parties, but they're spending they're spending time that they normally, you know, like I think even in the Wii U era, we would have seen a similar sort of thing like this with all of these third party games that are coming to the Wii U or whatever. And they put all of this stuff into a sizzle reel. And instead what they did is they showed off a ton of third party content, over the course of this Nintendo Direct, which I think is really smart of them. I think that really shows that I think that Nintendo has sometimes been their own worst enemy when it comes to that third party stuff, because they just overshadow those third parties so badly that they just kill any, you know, like they're such strong competition on their own platform. Whereas now they're like, okay, you know what? Maybe we should give all these other guys a spotlight. And I actually am more excited because they've given more time for that. So, yeah. That's mm-hmm. kind of my thoughts on it. But overall, yeah, like I think there are definitely a few games here and there. I would say a B plus is what I would say. What about you, Marty? How are you feeling about it?
Yeah, B plus is probably a good safe number there or letter. There were some things that I wanted to see that I didn't. I would have appreciated not so much a focus on games, but on like, hey, here's the future of the Switch. You know, it's been out a month. We're going to drop a theme today, or we're going to give you a little bit more about what's going to go on online this summer. You know, just even a hint at the virtual console, just that they would have even said, hey, we've heard you and we're working on it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I will say they showed a lot of games that I have a meh interest in. And only a few that I went, oh man, I really want that.
Yeah.
So overall, I think for me, this was kind of a middle of the road, even though it was really good to see Nintendo, like, this is their sweet spot.
Yeah.
Right? When they've got a big fat catalog of 3DS releases and they can also pad out their stuff with what's going on the other system.
Mm-hmm.
The question that I have after watching this is, you know, there is obviously a ticking clock over the head of the 3DS, right?
Yeah.
Can we all agree with that?
Oh yeah, of course.
And you know, my question is when, what is that? What's the number on that clock?
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking like how much, you're getting all these RPGs and these games that, to me, what this says obviously is we're artificially lengthening the lifespan of this console because we know you're going to need it to play these games for a long time.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think that part of that is that there's until they're confident that the Switch is going to be the 3DS replacement, which I think at this point it's pretty, you know, we're getting closer to that. Like, yeah, this is going to be the Nintendo handheld of the future too. But also they don't have any way of really marketing the Switch to a younger audience yet. There is no cheaper SKU there. And so I don't foresee any real reason for them to pull the 3DS off the market or to pull support from it, as long as it's still aimed at, like, which I think is actually the interesting piece here, is that looking at the games that they announced, well, first off, there's three Kirby games, which, you know, which are all sort of aimed at that younger market. Bye Bye Box Boy is a 3DS game. Fire Emblem Hero or Fire Emblem Echoes is actually surprisingly not. It's more of a mature game, or at least for a more hardcore audience. RPG Maker is for a more hardcore audience. You know, and so like the kinds of games that they talked about today are not necessarily aimed at the audience that I suspect is going to sustain the 3DS moving forward. If that makes, you understand what I'm saying? Like that's not really right. like Hey Pikmin, I think is a perfect game for that future audience of the 3DS, but, and the Kirby games and Yo-Kai Watch. But other than that, it's kind of an interesting, it's an interesting choice. But then again, you've also got the entire 3DS catalog that is still there too. So, I don't know. It's, I think as long as they, until they can fill that, the, that price point of, until the Switch can hit like $200 or $150 somehow, I don't think that the 3DS goes away. I think that it stays for a long time because it's going to be a long time before that they can, before they can market a Switch at that price. So I don't know. Jesse, what do you think about, what's your letter grade?
Overall, a lot of the stuff I didn't care about, I'd probably give it more like a low B or a high C, you know, but, you know, also, you know, I don't, just because I'm not interested in the game doesn't mean I don't want it to come out. I'm sure, you know.
Yes, it does.
I've not, I've always said, you know, I have always admitted that not all games are for me. And just because I don't want it doesn't mean that someone else doesn't want it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not upset that everything isn't for me because I can't afford everything. So I'm,
yeah.
So I think based on what my budget might look like and how many games I expect to buy, it's probably it landed pretty close to where I needed to be.
Yeah. Right on. Okay. Well, with that, everybody, we are. Go ahead.
Okay. I did want to add. Nintendan put out a few videos from the information that he got from the European Direct, and a game mentioned is Dr. Kawashima's Devilish Brain Training. Can you stay focused?
That is a game that has been out over here for years. That was
Is it the same game?
Yeah, that's the Brain Age game that never was released over there for some reason.
Oh, I didn't realize it was the same game. Yeah, we've had that forever. And I think the Japan had a mention of Lady Layton.
Oh, cool. Right on.
So good to see that's still coming somewhere.
Right on, man. Very cool. So let's take a quick look here. Do we have any? I think we've basically spent our time here. Do we have anything else that we really need to cover? Josh, do you have anything as you're kind of that you're working on? Any fun stuff?
I've been killing myself working on a lot of stuff, but I haven't announced any of it yet. But I can say it will be announced on May 25th at the channel.
Ah, is this that thing, that super secret thing, the thing? Is that the same one?
There's five super secret things. This is a massive amount of work that's going to be shown off at once.
Okay. Is that that? Okay, so cool.
You're announcing it on my birthday.
Very cool. Hey, there you go.
Very cool. Yeah, no, if it's what I think.
One of the things I think I told you guys about.
Okay. Wait, so there's five different projects? Is that what?
There's five projects, yes.
Wow, dude, you are a crazy person. I love it. I'm looking forward to hearing about that. That's very cool. So stay tuned for that, March 25th. Right on.
May.
May. That too.
I'm traveling back in time, Marty, to March 25th to reveal it.
Nice. Right on. Well, hey, man, it's been awesome having you on the show. Thanks for sticking around.
I am a huge supporter. This is my favorite podcast. I love Wednesdays when I remember. Wednesdays come along and I'll be like, it'll be the middle of the day. And I'll be like, oh, that's right. There's a Nintendo Dads podcast tonight. And so I listen to you guys while I'm doing crunches usually.
Nice. Right on. Well, next time next week when we're recording, I'm just going to have that mental image just pop up.
Of me, like, me on the ground doing crunches, listening to the Nintendo Dads.
Yeah, right on. very cool. Well, it's awesome to have you on the show, dude. Thanks for being
here. Thanks for having me.
As we, you know what, guys, I'm gonna call an audible. I know we said we were gonna do that spoiler cast tonight. Does anybody still want to do that tonight? It's already in 11:30. How are we feeling?
Are we going? No, let's wait.
Let's wait. Yeah. All right.
I still haven't finished.
Okay. You know what? Here's what we're going to do.
I thought I was going to, but I'm not there yet.
Okay. So here's what we're going to do. This is a call for voicemails, voice clips, emails. We're going to have a huge blowout of the Zelda spoiler cast next week. So this is a call out to everybody. Do that. Let us know about all of your impressions of Zelda, and we will read those all out next week.
We're going to spoil the whole thing.
Yeah, we're going to blow the lid off of Zelda. It's going to be amazing. So let's. I think that's a good note to end on. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And yeah, we're, you know, it's a thing. If you want to go back and watch our live reactions to the Direct, head over to YouTube. There should be something up there that was our live reactions to that. So you can watch that with the actual video playing as well. It's cool. It's there. And guess what? Justin was there. I totally buried the lead on that. Justin joined us for the live reactions of the Direct. So that was a good time. It was nice to remind ourselves that he's not dead. So that's good.
It was almost like he still cares about us.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And he's actually going to be arriving at the end of the rainbow this coming week. And in Ireland, where the leprechauns are, you know, all sorts of culturally insensitive jokes that I can make at this point. Get the Scottish mad at me. Scottish? Irish? Wow. That was probably...
Yeah. Now you pissed off the Scottish.
Yeah, there we go. Now we're in real trouble. but yeah, no, so we wish him well as he is setting sail across the ocean. So, yeah, right on. Very cool. Shoot, you know what? I just realized that we can't stop yet. Or maybe we've got Justin Asks this week. Are we going to do that? I think we kind of got to do that, don't we?
Why don't we do that as a separate audio file? Would that be cool?
Or we could tack it on. Yeah. You know what? Let's do that. We will do that, or we'll put it at the end or something. All right. Well, in that case, let's do this. I will play our end music and then we'll move in from there. So of course, Josh, one more time, why don't you tell everybody, where can people find you on the internet?
They can find me at the BitBlock here on the internet.
Nice. Of course, as well, you are at Joshy. What is it? Joshy Funtime on Twitter.
Joshy Funtime.
Nice. That is the best Twitter handle. So cool. Random. Well, thanks for being on the show again, dude. And of course, if you guys want to follow us on all of the social medias, you can do so on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram at NintendoDads. If you want to email us, you can do so at NintendoDads@gmail.com. Twitch or YouTube is where you can find our videos. Our YouTube videos are over at youtube.com/c/NintendoDads. You can call in and leave us a voicemail at 929-25-NDADS. That's 929-256-3237. Huge thanks to OC Remix for our music throughout the show, as well as to Carter Johnson and Adam Leonard for amazing artwork. And of course, if you want to change the world, which I know you do, go to iTunes, leave us a 5-star review. Written reviews are even better. And of course, if you want to subscribe to the show, you can do so on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and, of course, VGTribune.com. For me, for Justin, who is not here, for Jesse, for Marty, and for Josh, we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Nintendo Dads.
Wobble Puffet, Wobble Buffet.
There you go. Okay. Are we going to do this Justin Asks thing?
I mean, we should. He put the effort in it.
Such right? An obligation already. No, just kidding.
No, it's we not. Love you, Justin. I'm just saying, like, he took the time to film the video, and it's got 14 comments.
I know, I'm just messing. Where is it here?
It's kind of like, you know, we probably should finally do the do Double Dragon and Super Mario World.
Yeah, that's exactly what it's like.
All of our Patreon supporters who are out there listening, we are sorry.
We're getting to it.
And by sorry, we mean we're sorry and terrible.
Yeah, and but yeah, not sorry as in like we regret it, but just sorry, yeah. Like we are sad, and we, sorry.
Yeah, let's go ahead and do that because I'm actually where I record and I have no car and my wife is coming to get me.
Oh, okay.
And please understand. She's
like 10 minutes away.
Okay, well, let's do it fast then.
Okay.
Okay, so.
Pull up the comments here.
Josh, you're welcome to stick around for this. I don't think it'll be too long here, but we'll. So we're basically going to go through.
Everybody pretty much had the same answer. Did you notice that?
I actually haven't even watched it yet. I'm not going to lie.
Well, no, I mean, like the comments were basically, oh yeah, I don't have it touched my 3DS.
Yeah. All right. So here we go. all right. So everybody, this is Justin's video.
Hey guys, what's going on? It is Justin from Nintendo Dads. And guys, this episode of Justin Asks. We have a Nintendo Direct coming out tomorrow. I'm excited. I'm looking at the press release. Hey, ARMS. Yes, tell me more about ARMS. Tell me why I need to be excited. Splatoon. I love Splatoon. Just came off of the global test fire. Tell me more. And I'm reading through the details and I'm like, what? And the future of the 3DS? Whoa, 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 Nintendo. Back that bus up. Shut the front door. What'd you say? What did you say? The 3DS isn't dead and buried yet? Are you kidding me? What? What? Because I don't know about you, poor listener.
Is he channeling Reggie right now?
My 3DS has been sitting in its corner, and it has been accumulating dust. It has been sitting there like a small and neglected little child, saying, come play with me, I am so much fun, please, please. Shut the front door, Nintendo. You mean you have plans for the 3DS? Amazing. But what will draw me away from my Nintendo Switch to play the 3DS? And that, ladies and gentlemen, that is the question for Justin Asks. What does Nintendo need to do to make you put down the Switch, walk over and say, hello, 3DS, I love you, and open it up and play again? What's it going to be, folks? What is there, a game? Is there a launch title? What is it going to be to draw you back to that 3DS? Or are you just saying goodbye? Goodbye, my 3DS. That's my question, folks. All right? Thanks for tuning in to Justin Asks, a regular segment of Nintendo Dads. And as always, thanks very much. Take care. Bye-bye.
I think he, first off, may have... first comment here that I saw, Adam Goswick. A, Justin just cut the WWE promo of the year. And B, it's so hard to go back to that 3DS screen after playing on the Switch. The new kid on the block is stealing my attention. My 3DS might be dead. Yeah.
Can I just say, that was an amazing performance by Justin. I think we all need to clap.
Yes.
Audibly clap for that wonderful performance.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, let me tell you something, brother.
Yeah.
No, yeah, I mean, it did feel like kind of like a WWE promo. You know, I kind of agree with Justin, like there's going to have to be something pretty big to pull me away from the Switch at this point. It may be, hey, Pikmin. It may be, I don't know that it's going to be any of these Kirby titles that were announced today.
You know what? I was playing this Kirby game during the show tonight. And it has this weird progression system in it, man, that I'm kind of loving. I don't know what it is.
Stop it.
I'm serious.
I don't need to get back on my 3DS.
There's freaking gear. You grind for gear in this game.
Of the reasons I think I'm okay with letting my 3DS go is that most of my huge backlog of games is on my 3DS.
Mm.
So it feels kind of like I've hit the reset button.
You know what though? The thing is that this game it's so good, dude. It's
interesting. Let's dive into some of these comments.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. Eric Plunk says, I barely touched my 3DS since the Switch launch. However, I'm interested in the new Pikmin game. I'd also like to see some sort of Splatoon 3DS game. Of course you would, Eric. You put 400 hours into Splatoon
on the Wii U. Dude.
I'm not sure what genre it would be, but what better way to grow the IP than to release a game on a system with an install base the size of the 3DS?
That's
He's
true.
Kind of right about that.
You know what would do that even better, though? A mobile game.
Yeah. That would be cool, too. Leo Wright says, there's nothing they could announce today that would get me to start playing 3DS again. I'm all in on the Switch and hoping that Nintendo will quit doing two systems because then they can produce more games for the Switch.
Bingo.
Yeah.
Do you agree with that?
Totally, yeah.
I think that's true, but also, like, is that a false, I don't know, like, is that something that's actually true? How much of an actual effect is developing these few games for the 3DS really going to have on Switch, on the health of the Switch long term? Like, I don't know.
Well, when do they stop, though? It's like, at what point do they say, okay, now we're done? Because, like, we heard about this Kirby game that's being made for the 3DS, and it's like, well, what's that going
to
be?
It kind of reminds me of when they swapped over development from the NES to the SNES, and, like, there was this big gap at the end of the NES's lifespan, and that, like, we got, like, Yoshi's Cookie and yeah. Wario's Woods.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. That was, like, the death rattle for the NES. And I don't want... I don't want Wario's Cookies for the
nobody
3DS,
does,
you know, or something like that. Like, I don't want that type of game. Like, you know, go ahead and transition over. And I mean, I think, you have the fact that Nintendo has merged their dev teams. You know, they've merged mobile and home, and they're all working together now. So there has to be a cutoff somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Danielle Crowder, I think she, here's a comment. I think she sums this up pretty well. She says, I'm pretty much done with my 3DS and ready to put it to rest. Although I do enjoy playing it, I haven't really haven't been able to become my little brother. I think she means become like my little brother. He has been using it to play Pokemon, and I'm just ready to move on to the Switch. It had a great run 6 years. I've had my 3DS just ready to move on.
Yeah.
You know, the funny thing about this is a lot of these comments, this is basically what we're hearing. Mm-hmm. I'm ready to move on. Phoenix Moore, interesting perspective.
I was reading his comment and I actually kind of agree with this. Absolutely.
First time in a while, I took my 3DS to work with me instead of my Switch. I'm in a period of waiting until Mario Kart 8 comes out. So I'm actually going back and playing Binding of Isaac on my 3DS instead of buying it on the Switch. To bring me back to the 3DS, Nintendo can port GameCube games to the new 3DS. Shouldn't that system be able to run it? I miss this device and being able to throw it in your pocket and on the go.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
So, no, the 3DS would not be able to run GameCube games.
Yeah.
No analog.
No, yeah. So that's...
no analog computers.
But I do agree that coming back to, like, the being done Zelda... And yes, I've been playing games on my Switch too. Like Graceful Explosion Machine has been really great this past week, but yeah, I also have been kind of dabbling in Dragon's Quest VIII, and yeah, just enough to be, you know, with that lull in the Switch right now, being able to have this game is really interesting. In fact, now that we say that, the fact that Ever Oasis is coming out on June 23rd, which is, I guess, well, never mind. That's 1 week after ARMS. But yeah, so that's, I don't know. It's interesting. Never mind then. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see, like, the 3DS could fill the gaps between. So let's get one more question in here real quick here. Like, maybe one last
Tim Alf,
sure.
I think had a good comment here. He said, think of how the Switch is/was marketed. Now think about the 3DS. My kids aren't ready for this version of the Switch, thus the 3DS is the system for them. I kept mine so I could still play games with them as well. So maybe that is how they market the 3DS, as a kid/family-friendly device with the games to support that. Give me the more adult-oriented stuff on my Switch. Make it that the Nintendo device that finally grew up with me. One device for the older gamers, Switch, and one device for the younger gamers, 3DS. And then he adds another comment. Short answer, no, it's not dead.
Yeah.
You know, that's an interesting point. Nintendo could use this as a look at this huge library of games we have, look at all the family-friendly licenses we have, look at all the, you know, the family games that you can buy and you can have, like, Kinect Play or Download Play and all that stuff. You know, and maybe they're not producing as many games, but maybe we see a price drop on the 3DS again in the future.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Josh. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, I think the problem with that theory is Nintendo makes about 2.5 franchises that could be considered for adults. I don't know, maybe Metroid, maybe Zelda. But then it's like the vast majority of what Nintendo does is they make the colorful, cartoony games. And that's what they've always done. Even when you were a kid, it's just you grew up and now maybe you don't want them as much. I still do. I still want the colorful Splatoon and all that. But I feel like if you really want those gritty games, I think you'd probably just want like an Xbox or something. So I don't think I would want like the new colorful Nintendo games to still be on the 3DS. I want those to be more visually stunning, more advanced on the Switch.
Yeah,
I think that the sweet spot here, that one thing I want to mention here is that, like, that you remember that $99 new 3DS that came out at Christmas? Yep.
This one right here?
Black Friday?
This one?
Yeah.
This
I have the white one, you have the black one, right?
Yep.
I love that.
It's amazing.
And I actually downgraded from my XL to that.
Yep.
I think that's the sweet spot going forward for the 3DS. Marketed as a $100 console for people who can't get into the Switch yet because they don't have enough money.
Yep.
And, you know, use that huge backlog of games.
There's so many games on the 3DS. It's crazy.
And still good. I mean, games that are 6 years old that are 4 or 5 years old. Like Mario 3D Land is still a good game.
Yeah, Link Between Worlds. If you've never played it. Yeah, it's crazy.
There's Mario Kart 7. You know, it's Ocarina of Time 3D, Majora's Mask Remake. There's tons of good stuff here. And I mean, and fair third-party support, too, through some good games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So
it could almost be like a legacy title, like a legacy console, you know, for them. That we're going to keep this around. We're going to support it for a little bit. But again, I agree, like, with like, where do we have to say this is going to be a terrible illustration, but like, where do we have to finally say, okay, old Yeller is blind and deaf and it's time for him to go.
Right.
I'd say that's right now.
I would say, like there's so many.
It depends on the games for me. Cause you know, last week I said I played Brave Dungeon. I probably put in 10 hours into that, played through the main story and a little bit of the bonus dungeon. Tomorrow, a new Picross game comes out, not from the E-series, but it's called Pick a Pix Color. So it's basically Picross that adds a color layer to it. So I plan on picking that up.
Hmm.
So, yeah, and then, you know, as we said during the show, you know, I'm interested in the Pikmin, and there's a few other games there I'm interested in. So while it may not get daily play, it's not yet ready to shelf.
Mm-hmm.
I think I would say this is the final holiday season that's going to be for the 3DS. I think this is kind of the final holiday season for 3DS.
I think that's fair. I don't see holiday 2018 games coming out.
I think that this is going to be the last one that they market the 3DS. But I think that you're going to see the 3DS on store shelves, or at least there are going to be 3DS games on store shelves into 2019. I think.
But I think it'll be Japanese third parties mostly that are doing that still.
Yeah.
I don't think it'll be Nintendo first party all that much.
No, I agree. Yeah. Very cool. All right. Well, gentlemen, I think that about does it for Justin Asks. And Justin, while you are out in, you know, Justin land.
Wobble Puffet.
That's for you. All right. See you later.